Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here alive.
Get it, break live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it, break live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me your pick.
Interesting show tonight. I'm working it off the phone today. We have a few technical difficulties, so I apologize for anybody that might be listening and is confused with what's going on. Right away, John Granger's here, so we'll bring him in. And so the rumor is that the Rough Riders season may be suspended the next day or so, opening the door for Edmonton and Winnipeg to make the playoffs. Apparently the CFL head offices are displeased with the way that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have handled the suspensions. And they're going to bring down the big hammer. Hey, John, good afternoon, good evening, and wherever you are, have a great time.
Okay. Frank, what? That's news to me. What? What's going on? What?
They're suspended. The Rough Riders season is going to be suspended. Apparently, behind the scenes, there are things going on that, and Saskatchewan, the management team, is unwilling to suspend the players as required by CFL rules. And the CFL is basically saying, we're going to suspend you for the year if you don't do something about it. And that'll open the door for Winnipeg and Edmonton to make the playoffs. And that includes Winnipeg crossing over into the West.
Okay, hold on a second. So, first of all, right off at the top of it, it just sounds like a hoax to me. But so the deal is here is that the league does not like or disagrees with how Saskatchewan has handled the suspensions to the players that had some problems during the season, and therefore they are waiting to see whether or not Saskatchewan's going to do something, or they are going to do something to Saskatchewan, the league.
Well, they will be doing something. Saskatchewan, apparently, the deadline is either approaching or has approached and passed. And,
oh, they won't do nothing, Frank. They won't do anything to Saskatchewan. No way. Are you kidding?
What, just because they have the Grey Cup?
That's right. They'll have an empty stadium. They'll have a boycott on their hands with nobody in the stands. That's a bunch of larky. I don't know if they need any more attention for the Grey Cup or what, or Riders just like to be the focus or something. But that, to me, I don't know. You know what? When did this come out?
Actually, just a little while ago, I picked it up. And I'm in the process of getting it corroborated and see what we can do about basically finding out more about what's going on. Hang on a sec, okay, John. First of all, John, good week for the whole CFL. Everybody's going to be resting. What do you think that means?
Well, what it means is I'm going to be, I'm not going to say bored, but it's like a lull. This hasn't happened in a long time that I can remember where there wasn't a meaningful end-of-the-season game that, you know, meant something in some way that's going to make a decision in the final standings. So it's a little bit of a strange thing to go through. It hasn't been in a long time either that, you know, we've had two Ontario teams playing in the playoffs. I think that's since 1989 that hasn't happened, I read somewhere. So it's going to be strange, Frank, I got to tell you. But, you know, this Friday coming up, 7 o'clock, Rogers Center against the Alouettes. It's fan appreciation night, and I think the Argos have a, you know, for good reason, a really, really great offer. If you buy a ticket to that game, I think they start at $37 or $45 or something like that, you will also get a playoff ticket. So
cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
Does that mean we get a playoff ticket?
That's what I'm saying, right? You know, that's the first thing that came out of my mind. I go, does that mean that we get an extra additional ticket for at least Friday?
Well, at least if we buy a playoff ticket, we should get another ticket, right?
Well, for Friday, right? I think that does cut it for us, too. So if we bought a ticket, an additional ticket for Friday night, we'll get another playoff ticket. So, I mean, I already bought all my playoff tickets, but it's a nice deal. It's a nice deal. I mean, you can call Chris Andreoli, I think, Frank. You always throw his phone number, 416-341-2793. If anybody wants to write it down or call, I don't even know if people even bother. Do you think they bother to even, you know, remember the number? I don't think so. Anyway, just call the Argos, look it up, and you'll see the deal. But the weekend, I don't know, Frank, it's going to be kind of a strange one, isn't it? Nothing. This is the story, though. Never mind the way the week's going to play out. What? Saskatchewan getting suspended? No. I don't think so. I don't think so. I see either someone's doing a really, really bad joke, but I just never heard anything about even rumors that happening, so it's kind of strange. I mean, not to say that everything comes across my desk.
Well, maybe Mike knows more.
Yeah. What did you hear, Mike?
It's news to me as well. I never heard anything about that.
Yeah.
Well, are we at least aware that there has been almost no activity as far as suspension is concerned for the three players that caused the problem? That we all know, right? We know that there's a problem, a legal issue, and we know that none of the players have been suspended for any amount of time, right?
Well,
I thought they weren't in court yet.
Yeah, you're right, Frank. I don't think the writers are doing anything until they see what happens in court first. And I think that has something to do with the Players Association, too. You know, it's like it doesn't have to go through a court hearing or something or whatever before the league would put anything down as far as they're at it. I don't know, guys. I'm really disconnected from that situation.
Well, let's review the situation from the perspective historically. Has someone never been suspended for behavior outside of the, you know, prior to any guilt being assessed? Nobody's ever been suspended?
Not that I recall, Frank.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't think there's been a situation.
Nobody's ever been suspended.
No.
So a player can do anything, and as long as they're not found guilty, nothing happens to them then.
Well, I think it's ground.
Isn't there
to
a code of
that
conduct?
Rule.
Isn't there a code of conduct on when they sign their contract that requires them to behave in a certain manner that is outside of any legal entanglement?
You would think so.
Wouldn't you agree,
so?
Mike?
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Mike's
like, you
it
know,
up.
It doesn't have to rise to the, for a player to be suspended, it doesn't have to rise to something illegal. You know, anything that's a detriment to the league and the appearance, you know, to the, you know, basically to the moral fabric that the league wants to maintain. Yeah, so no, I heard this rumor that there's talk that the threat of suspending the season for Saskatchewan is out there. It has been put out there. And, you know, it's like we're playing chicken now, it looks like. It sounds to me like a game of chicken, right?
Well, if management, first of all, is not going to let it go to that point where they're going to allow themselves to be suspended because they're going to hold firm on the fact that they're not going to do nothing to their players until, you know, some sort of court hearings happen. So I don't think that's going to go that extent. But they certainly are or would be using it as a crutch or a reason to say, well, you see what you've done now. You forced us to play the hand, and now we're going to be missing some vital pieces here. And so what's going on? But then again, I think the CFL, what the hell? I mean, if they were so upset with it initially, why are they waiting, what, 3, 4, 5 games after the fact to say, you
it's
know
more
what,
than that.
You guys got to, or is it more
it's
than
more
that?
Than
like
that. It's at least almost 2 months now, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I think it happened back in late July, early August.
There you go. We're
yeah.
in October.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frank,
and
no,
that matter, we're in the final week, the final days of October, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, but
so it's something
thing,
that's been
like,
dragging on for a while.
There's no way the CFL will suspend the season. I mean, this would be like the NBA suspending the Lakers or the NFL suspending the Cowboys or the NHL suspending the Blackhawks and Bruins. You're not going to suspend or do anything to affect your number one team that generates the majority of your buzz for your league. That's crazy. If this was like,
well,
I mean,
it's not like,
or
no, I don't
like
think,
Edmonton,
I don't
where
think
no one cares, you know, then they would do it. Of course,
well,
you can't do
I
it.
I don't know. I don't know if you can say that it's never happened before, Mike. I mean, the National Hockey League suspended a whole year. It was a whole year off the, you know, they eliminated that whole season. You know, they gave up a
yeah,
whole season
on
whatever for whatever
team. Reason. Like, could you imagine if they suspended
yeah.
the Leafs? The uproar in Toronto would be insane. There's no way.
Baseball did it with the Black Sox.
Yeah, but that's the White
yeah,
Sox. Imagine
the
if they did it to
though.
The Red Sox. You know,
yeah,
not
on the same grounds. Not because they were upset. That had something totally different. That was because, you know, they were cheating and crap like that. But this is because they didn't take any action against some players on the team, and they're dissatisfied with the Riders' management lack of doing something to the players. Is I don't know. It's a strange one. If that is
isn't
actual
it? Isn't
out.
Like, wouldn't
well,
the league just suspend the players themselves if it came down to it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, we'll find out in the next couple of days whether there's any truth in it. Hey, John, do you remember Chris Johnson?
Chris Johnson. Which Chris Johnson? Like, I think so, you know, three.
It doesn't matter. I think the one in it doesn't matter. But anyway,
oh,
okay. Well, let's set that aside because it would be great. Yeah, the one in California. It would be great if that was true, because then my Edmonton theory for making the playoffs at the end of the year would look much better. It would brighten up my prediction. A little bit.
Yeah, but
first team to make the playoffs with a 3-win record.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way Edmonton would get in if that ever happened. But I don't.
Well,
I
either them or Winnipeg.
Know.
Either them or Winnipeg. Okay. On a serious note, that's just something that's out there, and I find it humorous that that's out there right now, because quite frankly, it has been a bit of a strange year anyway when it comes to Saskatchewan. They've had everything going on for them. In all seriousness, something we do know, it appears that Corey Sheets' true nature is coming out, and it's not looking very pretty right now. You have any comment on that, Mike? I mean, the guy's appearing to have a bit of an ego problem.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Sheets, like, you know, when you watch the games, you really see the defense. You know, they really give it to him. You see the guys trash-talking him really hard, and I think he just wants to get the opportunity to go out there and prove the guys wrong. And he knows best that when he's involved and he makes plays, the team performs better. So, in a way, I don't blame him for being upset, because when they didn't give him the ball, you saw how much the offense just looked like it couldn't get in the second gear. So, I don't know. I kind of side with Sheets in the whole situation.
It still seems difficult at best from a team approach when it comes to the game. It's difficult for the rest of the team to, you know, to support that kind of behavior, especially management, especially when they're trying to accomplish something. If they feel they can't go to them, they can't go to them. You know, that's the way it goes. The same thing happened last week with C.J. Gable, in fact, the very same thing, where Hamilton moved away from using Gable. In fact, the first half, I think he only had two or three touches, if he had those. And then the team turned it around, not because of him, but because they found a fullback that could run the ball, not C.J. Gable. But then C.J. Gable also contributed later on in the game as well. I've had this battle in my mind with people when it comes to the game of football. I just don't think it works as an individual game. I think it's something that has to be, a player has to understand that they're part of a group, and that group moves forward together, not individually. What do you think?
Who?
Yeah.
Throwing name.
Yeah, you kind of just like, what do you think? And they're just sitting
there's
like,
two
okay.
There's people here, I think, right?
Yeah, well, Listen, you guys. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, because, you know, the play that got him upset was that possession where they had the ball in the red zone, like on the five, off that fumble, and they didn't give him the ball at all, and the team ended up having to kick a field goal. And to me, I was upset myself that they didn't run the ball either. I thought that was a perfect situation to hand it off, and that's what set off the whole thing. That's what caused him to snap on Cortez. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, Frank. It's got to be the team thing, but when a guy knows that, you know, he can make a big difference, and the offensive coordinator is reluctant to go at him because, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just, to me, I get it. And I don't know. I'm still on Sheets' side because I know the offense depends on the guy.
Sheets is a young guy. He's a running back. It's an aggressive position, meaning that you're always in the spotlight. You're always touching the ball. Your adrenaline is always pumped. Now there's a war of words between Cornish and him and the lead and for the rushing title and so forth. So, and Saskatchewan has a nature of allowing their players to run their mouth. I mean, you got Anderson today, you know, quoting that even though they won, even though the Stamps won, they still suck. And
yes, they do.
And he knows that they're so. You know, it's that dressing room mentality. It's the Rider Nation mentality. They're aggressive. They get passionate behind it. And sometimes the players kind of fall into it, especially at his age and the position that he's in and so forth. And more or less they expect a lot of things out of him, right? You know, and because of the fact that Cornish battle was, and you know, kind of intensified things more or less. And right now I think he got grounded a little bit with this whole thing, this past game this weekend in Calgary. I think he kind of came down to earth a little bit. He thought he was going to run away with the game, and they didn't. You know, I know Calgary is a stronger team. Look at, didn't we talk about the quarterbacks, guys, and the three weapons that they have? And look what they did against that game. Hey, Mike, remember we said about the fact that, you know, you might have Sheets and you might have Durant, but they got three quarterbacks, could be starters, and they used those guys perfectly, okay? And look for more of that in that Western final. I don't think the Riders are going to be able to take the Stampeders again. So
wow.
Sorry.
So what about the front line for the defense for the Riders? I mean, you saw the pressure that they were able to generate. They're the reason Drew Tate came in the game in the first place, you know. And,
true.
You know, with all that happened, the Stamps only won by 4 points, you know, and that was based on the offense playing absolutely terrible. So, you know, the Riders are capable of putting together a better offensive performance than that. And if they can do at least 50%, they should be able to get over the top because the Stamps suck. I'm sorry. They do. They're overrated.
Okay, well, I know you feel that way. But
no,
are they really capable? Is the offense really capable of putting more points up? I don't know about that anymore, okay? I really don't. I don't know if Durant and Sheets and what they got, and we're not talking about any other receivers, are we? So, you know, guys, I don't know if their offense can do it. Their defense is definitely going to have to keep them in the games, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a scary one. And like I said about the Montreal Ticat game, I mean, come on, guys, that was a good game. The Ticats got lucky on that one.
Yeah,
very lucky on that one. And, you know, it was a good weekend. I think it was a good weekend, and I don't know about how everybody's going to like playing in Guelph in that weather condition. It's horrible.
Oh,
it's just, it's terrible, man. It's sad, and I think they'll be, you know, the players, guys, who are on that Ticat team this year are going to be grateful. I mean, grateful. So grateful for next year's new stadium, even if it's not, you know, A-plus standards where the city council thinks it's a high school stadium style. But I think they're going to be cherishing that locker room that they walk into compared to the high school one-hook locker room that they got right now. I saw the change room interviews, and you got the head shelf, and then you got that one hook underneath. not even dividers between the thing. But hey, you know what it is? It is what it is. This is the kind of thing that they have to go through. And good for the Ticats; they'll be able to play another home game in Guelph.
Okay, guys, we got somebody new on with us right now, Chris Jones. Chris, nice to talk to you.
Greetings. Good evening.
How you doing,
hey, Chris. So, got any news for us, Chris?
Yeah, I was kind of talking to somebody over at the head office of the CFL today. I kind of had a bit of a problem or a complaint with something that's been going on with one of the organizations in the league. For the last month, I've been kind of working on this. And, well, basically, I'm a little upset that the Riders organization have not suspended the three players who have been indicted with a criminal offense. And I think they shouldn't be allowed to play until they have cleared their name one way or the other. And so I've kind of been doing some follow-up with different people here, there, and everywhere else. And my understanding right now is the league is seriously thinking about suspending the Riders organization for the 2013 season.
What?
Wow.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, man.
I know.
You've
got to
be kidding me.
Chris,
I told
you. You know what? It just boggles my mind, even if, I mean, to hear it from two people right now is kind of freaking me out a little bit. Wow. I mean,
well, what I think is really cool about this is Edmonton or Winnipeg could actually make the playoffs right now.
Guys, you know what? I just have to stop everybody. Okay, let's just say hypothetically they do suspend them and Edmonton makes the playoffs. There will be nobody who will come to the Grey Cup game besides
exactly.
the visitors. Okay?
I'll come.
You know what? We can get
I'm
going to
fly out
from
there. I'll go.
Oh,
okay,
wow,
there's
guys.
Two people.
Tickets are
going to
be cheap.
Oh, my God. No, I can't see that happening.
Okay,
guys.
Chris, I got to ask you a question, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so let me get this straight. So you don't think that it would be a problem for the league if its most popular team and its primary rating generator all of a sudden got suspended? You don't think that would hurt the CFL?
Well, I don't think it really matters one way or the other. I mean, the Riders organization should have done what was right. I mean, Josh Bowden was charged with domestic violence. Wally Bono cut him immediately from the team, okay, from the Lions. And his charges were actually dropped, and the Lions organization didn't touch him again. So, you know, I think that the Riders really dropped the ball on this. They were more focused on winning for the Stanley or going for the Grey Cup than they were on doing what was right. And they've given the league a black eye with this, and I think the league is now finally doing something about it.
I agree with the theory that the league should do something. If a team won't maintain a standard that we all believe, you know, should be maintained, then the league might be forced to do something. Now, I don't know whether they'll go as far as what Chris believes will happen, but why wouldn't the league take an action against them for basically, you know, allowing, you know, what happens the next time somebody does something like this, guys? First of all,
management usually, when they lay off this way, where they just don't want to get involved until there is some sort of legal justice being done here, it's because they sat down with the players, they've talked it out with them, heard their story, got the police's version of it, you know, their lawyers are involved, and said to themselves, okay, in this scenario, you guys were the innocent party here. You were being racially attacked, the cab or something, or whatever the story is. You got into a dispute. The guy was aggressive, intoxicated. He did throw racial slurs at you. There are witnesses to that. You guys had to defend yourselves, and this guy didn't realize that, you know, you're defending yourselves and you're strong, and you caused some damage to him. Maybe that's perhaps the reason why the franchise didn't take any action, because it might be a sensitive issue.
Hang on for a second here. The Crown took 30 days to investigate this. They gave them every opportunity in which to get out of this, to give them a pass on this. They tried very hard. And after 30 days, they had no options but to indict them. So, you know, they were given more options. I mean, this is not something that we can sit down and have a conversation about and say, oh, you know what, you guys were kind of picked on and racially abused. So, you know what, they wouldn't have laid the charges if that was the case. This is aggravated assault.
Charges,
this is a very serious crime.
Yeah. They laid the charges because there was physical damage to the other dude, okay? If there wasn't, well, that's the reason why the Crown is not going to let it go, because they actually did it cause pain and inflicted some damage to the guy. So you have to take it to trial. You know, if they didn't, say this was a dispute and they had a bumping, pushing incident and this guy pressed charges and they found out there's no damage on him, I bet you it would have been dropped. but because there was physical harm to the guy. Even though, no matter what he said, there's still words. And you still shouldn't, but I don't know the details
okay,
of it.
Okay, so John, okay, let's go with your premise. Let's go with your premise that they did something in self-defense and or they believe that they had a, and you believe as probably, I guess, the reason why this, the league and the team feel they don't have to do anything, that they were justified in justified to perform physical violence on an individual. I'm afraid I have to disagree. For that reason alone, they should be suspended, because the violence is not how you solve problems. They didn't do what they should have done, which in my opinion was walk away and ignore the guy instead of continuing the fight over a cab. They have a responsibility as representing the CFL. So now what I believe is if a CFL guy and I have a disagreement and he punches me out, whether I did anything or not, he can just say I did, and therefore he's okay. He can carry on with his life. And I end up in the hospital. That's okay, by your books, right?
No, first of all, Frank, you're twisting.
But that's what we're talking about here. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about violence and not being responsible for it.
If a guy approached you and was racially throwing slurs at you and then trying to shove you out of your way after you're trying to leave the situation, he shoves you out of the way and tries to take a cab and then physically puts his hand on you. At this point, you see the guy's trying to be aggressive with you, just wanting to start a fight. You're trying to leave, and he stops you from leaving. And then you're saying, that's your defense. I started getting physical. The only way I was going to put him down was to knock him out. Otherwise, he was going to continue going aggressive. You don't know the situation to say that, Frank. You really don't.
Right.
And I'm just saying,
I didn't come to a conclusion. I didn't draw a conclusion. I'm making an observation. The observation
You're coming to a conclusion because you're saying, why should the league just let him go and not suspend nothing, even though the guys were involved in a fight? So any guy who's involved in a fight, they should just let them walk away. No, I believe in the right to be heard first and judged, and then something done to me. Why are these guys are now going to be deprived of their livelihood for their families because some other guy, asshole, started a fight and they have to hurt him? Come on, let's get real, guys. Come on.
But again, you're making assumptions. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea for sure what happened, all right? But all I'm saying is can a player be involved in a violent act and walk away unscathed?
Until he's brought to court?
You're saying
yes,
he can. Okay, that's it. I don't agree with that. I don't agree that – I'm not saying that I'm not a team owner and I'm not a player and I'm not knowledgeable of the facts, but I never side on the side. I never side on the side of violence. Okay, that's just
Chris,
me. That's
Chris,
just the way
you
I feel. I don't think violence justifies anything.
Chris, you said you've been following this for a while. So what is the stickler here? What's the question? Wasn't this an aggressive approach by that drunk guy and he got nailed by these three guys?
Well, I don't think that's really relevant. I mean, first off, why should three CFL guys who are obviously, as you put it, bigger and bolder and stronger, why would it take three of them to subdue a drunk? I've been a bouncer in a bar for many years, and it sure don't take more than one of me to take one guy out. So
I think that
these guys used excessive force, and they went above and beyond the concept of defense, and obviously because of that, the Crown has now had to charge them. Okay. And that's basically the way that I see it is what's happened. Now, as the writers organization, these guys, this is 3 o'clock in the morning, they're going to practice the next day.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
You
know, that alone would have got them suspended by Wally Bono.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I'm just saying, guys, I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying, you know, this is the reason why perhaps management didn't go that route, because it is probably a little bit more detailed and sensitive. And the league, I'm surprised, why have they waited this long, you know, to say that we're not happy with the way you guys have handled this? It's been, like, how many months now? 3 months since this whole thing, you know, started up? So it's kind of this is weird stuff.
So, Chris, why doesn't the league just step in and suspend the players themselves?
Hey, I don't have an answer to this question. I've just been complaining about them, why they're still playing. And I've been bitching to all sorts of different parties for the last 30 days. And today I finally got an answer from somebody that says that the league is seriously looking at taking a very serious position in this case, because it's obviously has elevated to that. And I guess I'm not the only one that's having a problem with this, that they're getting complaints from all sorts of people, and the Riders organization is refusing to do anything about it. Now, I don't know why the league hasn't suspended them outright. I can't answer that.
I bet
that
they're getting a lot of complaints from Stampeder and BC Lions fans, probably.
Hey, I've been bitching about this for more than 30 days, okay? So it has nothing to do with that. We were actually ahead of them when this all started. So, you know, I'm not going to go there.
Who's your team?
Yeah, I'm a Lions fan, okay?
Oh, there we go.
Let's put it in perspective, okay? It's not, you know, let's take the violent aspect of the situation. Let's get rid of that. Let's set that one aside. Teams have rules about being out late at night, and this is really at the root of what I'm, you know, all kidding aside, okay? The CFL may not do anything about it, but the fact remains these guys were out at 3 o'clock in the morning before a practice day, or out at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were getting themselves in trouble. And I know for a fact that players have been suspended not for being in a fight at 3 o'clock in the morning, but just being out at 3 o'clock in the morning. We all probably know times when coaches or managers or whatever have been sitting in a hotel room waiting for the guys to show up because they know they're out late, and then suspend them because they finally show up and they're late. So, you know, this isn't about treating athletes different than anybody else, because we all know they get treated differently to begin with. They're treated much better in some cases, and unfortunately, because of that, they're treated much worse in other cases. For example, if they stay out late, you know, your parents will take the keys to the car. You know, the GM or coach of a team will suspend them so that they can't play and collect a paycheck. So, you know, that's isn't that at the source of this, guys? I mean, let's forget about the violence and stuff. Players are given, you know, they take the high and low of people, right? They're, the old saying, you know, we raise them up and we put them on a pedestal just so we wait for the opportunity to knock them off their pedestal. Well, these guys are golden. They're not getting knocked off their pedestal when they could have been, just because they were out late, I'm saying, all right? So I get Chris's point. You know, the violent aspect, defense and all that stuff, I buy all that stuff. A player has a right to defend himself. He's no less a human being than anyone else.
I kind of agree 100% with Chris for the fact that the league should have done something by now, and usually it's the commissioner who steps in if the owners don't do anything about it, if management doesn't do anything. It's kind of a Cohen thing like it is in the NFL. You know, he's the ruler, if you want to call it, and he kind of puts down the decision representing the league.
So what happens if they're guilty and they go to and they don't go to jail though? Let's say they're guilty and they don't go to jail. Does the league have the right to step in, or the team? We as fans or people expect our league to ensure that the message that players shouldn't be committing crimes and be in our league?
Yeah, but I mean, it's obvious that the league will suspend them, and if the league feels so strongly about the situation, they can suspend the players right now if they wanted to. This whole idea that the league would suspend the Riders as a whole, that's just ridiculous. There's no way. Even if they feel like the team didn't handle it properly, you can't suspend an entire team, especially your number one franchise. That's crazy.
Well,
for the
if they had been suspended when they were supposed to have, if they should have been suspended a month ago or 2 months ago or whenever it was, all of the games that they have played since then are now in question.
Okay, but then that comes back to the commissioner.
They shouldn't have been there.
The league office could have suspended them themselves. I mean, the league doesn't have to wait for the team. If they felt it was that serious, they could have suspended them, and that would have been it. So, just as much as you could say the Riders are at fault, you could blame the league office for not stepping in and handing down the suspensions themselves. So,
this hasn't been handled well by anybody.
Right, so then how would the league be justified in suspending the team if the league themselves didn't step in and do something?
Well, they've now decided that something needs to be done, and I guess that's their course of action that they're choosing. I'm not going to say it's happening. I'm not going to say that it's going to happen or anything else. It's just what I heard today from head office.
So then, Chris, you think it's a bigger black eye on the league that these two guys didn't get suspended when most people by now have pretty much forgot the story, than having their best franchise be suspended on a year where they're hosting the Grey Cup? Which would look worse for the league? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, but you see, the fact that you're saying that Mike, I'm getting a little bit of bile in my throat. Like, I feel sick now hearing that kind of comment. Because, I feel a little sick hearing that. Because they've got the Grey Cup this year, we should hold our nose depending on whatever they do? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, we can pretend it didn't happen because they've got the Grey Cup coming up? The guy's point is that it looks bad on the league. It's a black eye for the league to have guys who potentially committed felonies, right? And I agree with that. He's right.
Hey,
what I'm saying
is, ultimately, it's going to look worse.
If you suspend your team, Mike, you have to look at.
I understand now Chris's point of view. If this was the Ticats having three players that should have been suspended, heck yeah, I'd be upset. I'd be upset. Why are these guys? You know, they just got three game wins with those guys. You know, what the hell? That's wrong. And what's wrong with this league? And why is the league pussyfooting around it? Does the league want this big commercial with the riders in the Grey Cup so they're leveraging by allowing these players to play while this thing goes on? Heck yeah, I'd be upset. So I get Chris's point of view now. I get it. It's the Western Division. It's something that's happened there. Because honestly, Chris, we forgot about the story. Truthfully, I did. You know, but you guys, now, I wouldn't have forgotten, honestly, if it was the Ticats who had these three players and, you know, they were still playing and they got wins against us and all that shit, okay? So if that's the scenario, that's the reason why it's kind of lingering out west still. Out here, Chris, honestly, we haven't even seen it in the print out here as far as what's going on with those guys.
So just because you guys have forgotten about it or ignoring it doesn't mean that it's not an issue.
It doesn't mean it needs to be dealt with. I think everybody should be looking at.
We should all be angry about what's happened to this league. I've been a fan of the CFL for 42 years. I've never seen anything so disgusting as what has taken place this year.
In that situation with the Ryder situation?
Yes, in this situation.
You can't take one situation and black eye the whole entire league for, you know, during an existence. You can't do that, Chris. Honestly and fairly, you can't. Sure, the ball was dropped here, I think by all parties. But then again, the league I don't think has ever really encountered this kind of a situation. And I really don't know the details of it, but I think you're completely right. The fact that it's lasted this long and the fact that they didn't lay anything down. Maybe not the first game back, you know, because they have to play the next game. Let them play that next game. But after the following week, after everything has been, all the parties have been talked to and everybody's got their defense lawyers and stuff, that's when the team and the league should have said, you know what, until a court hearing is done, sorry, guys, you were in the wrong situation. No matter what happened, you have to pay the price. We can't represent a league that will, you know, support players who go out and party at 3 in the morning before the game starts. That in itself is crazy, okay?
I agree 100%. That's what should have happened. It didn't. I mean, they're fining somebody for tweeting. I mean, and they let these three bimbos go back and play football?
Right,
okay,
Chris, what do you think is the proper course of action?
I'm sorry?
What do you think is the proper course of action for the league to take?
So Chris, if a couple of days later, after doing their investigation, they find that these guys were involved in an altercation, which the CFL can't determine at that time was anything illegal, but it was improper, then if they would have given them a one or a two or a three-game suspension, that you would have felt that at least the league put the message out there to the players that, guys, if you're out late at night, you need to behave. Would that satisfy you?
That would have satisfied me right up to the point in time where the Crown indicted them. When the Crown indicted them, they were toast. The Riders organization should have outright released them. What happened to Michael Vink when he was charged with animal cruelty? Atlanta Falcons ditched his ass so fast, right?
No, they
Josh
didn't.
Bowden
he was,
got
he was
posted
still
in
on,
Vancouver. Who else?
No,
there's Hernandez
Vick,
is another one.
Michael Vick was still on the roster. Was still on the roster even when he got out of jail. They didn't officially release him.
What about Hernandez?
Hernandez is a murder charge. That's completely different, guys. You're comparing a murder charge.
But he's not guilty.
To aggravated assault.
He's not guilty.
You're saying that if Hernandez only wounded the guy, it would be different.
No, I'm saying when a guy's on – let's just common sense, guys. The guy's getting charged for murder. That's a lot more serious than a couple guys having a fight at a bar. I mean, come on. Let's just call it like
it
is.
If it was a couple guys having a fight in a bar, there never would have been charges laid. Never. Okay? I have been taken into jail because of assault charges in a fight, in a bar room, and the next day it's over with. Okay? Crown never looked at me 30 days later and indicted me. Okay? There's a big difference between coming back a month later and laying charges. Say there was obviously a lot more serious something happened in there.
Yeah, the guy got beat down bad.
We don't know what happened, and yes, there's
speculation
going all over the league, but we don't know what happened. But the Crown obviously does, because they don't lay charges on a whim.
Chris,
well, you know how
so then Chris,
give me the
Chris. So when you said it would, the suspension would have satisfied you up until the charges were laid, then the suspension, you're saying the suspension of the players based on their not being guilty yet but being charged, a suspension of 1, 2, or 3 games would not suffice because of the charges laid.
No, they should have been suspended for being in a bar fight at 3 o'clock in the morning. The team should have done that. When the players sign a contract with a team, it includes a code of conduct. And
absolutely,
if 3 o'clock in the morning a bar fight is not part of the code of conduct, then they need to have somebody rewrite their code of conduct.
Hey,
so they should have been.
Depends on how pretty the girl is. Depends on how pretty the girl is.
Yeah, I know. Been there.
No.
So they should have been suspended because of the bar fight. When the charges were laid.
Because they were involved.
Because
they were
involved.
Regardless of why.
Regardless of why. Whether or not they were attacked. They were at 3 o'clock in the morning in a bar fight. Okay, they should have been suspended by the Riders organization, if not the league. When the charges were laid, there's absolutely no way they should be allowed to suit up until their name is the charges either dropped or they're indicted, they're convicted, and if they're convicted, they're toast.
Yeah, well, Chris, you know the league itself, you know, historically hasn't been that fearful of people who break the law. We were talking last week about an Argo that came up here that was, you know, suspended from the NFL because of marijuana use. Remember the discussion we had last week, guys, about what's his name? Williams? Wasn't it Ricky Williams?
Yeah, it was Ricky Williams. Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, that was pot.
Right.
That's not illegal in Canada, is it?
No, that's not the point. That's not the point. Oh, then you've got a GM that was charged and convicted of child molestation, and he's still an assistant GM. He's in Hamilton now. He's in Hamilton now as a GM, assistant GM.
He wasn't convicted, Frank. He wasn't convicted.
What was he then?
He pleaded guilty. He pleaded guilty, and there's a difference.
Yeah.
He pleaded guilty,
but he wasn't convicted.
Right.
He pleaded guilty to lesser charges.
Right. But he pleaded guilty,
and
didn't
after you have served your time, just like Michael Vink now has served his prison time, and he's allowed to come back. Once you have paid your debt to society, you can return. I don't have an issue with that.
Saskatchewan, early in the season, to do the right thing, Saskatchewan should have at least suspended the guys to send the message that we in the CFL, and us in particular, Saskatchewan, do not approve of our employees, because that's what they are, our players getting involved in a 3 a.m. brawl before a game, and therefore they're being suspended for 2 games. And then that would buy enough time till, you know, the truth shakes out, because I happen to agree with John where, you know, you can't stop a guy from earning a living because somebody accused him of something, because essentially that's what we're talking about here. We're saying firing somebody because of an accusation, and that's just blatant not fair, right? But they could suspend them just like they could if they came in late and they have a curfew and they break the curfew, they get suspended. In fact, there are a couple of Argos. We don't know why they were suspended, but 2 of them were suspended before the game in Hamilton, or in Guelph, I should say. John, you recall that, right? We don't know what the situation is, but we know that they were suspended, right?
Yep. Yeah. We haven't been told about that, but, you know, and that's one of those scenarios where how come the Argos can take action like that? And the Riders can't.
Exactly, John. And that's Chris's complaint.
What should happen now? Let's just with all the information we got.
I gave my opinion. You guys heard my opinion. Whichever one of you got to make this right, Chris. What's your plan? Give us your plan B, and then then John, and then Mike. You guys heard my opinion. They should have been suspended for a couple of games, not because of the assault, but because of breaking curfew, and then that should have been it until the court case comes through. That way, they get their slap on the wrist, and everybody around the team and the league. And I believe they went into that dry spell because the situation wasn't handled. I believe that's why they went into a dry spell, because the players were emotionally conflicted, because they didn't know, what the heck. This is weird, right? But that's my opinion. Mike, what's your plan B? Aside from them being suspended permanently, what could the team have done or the league have done that would make this taste a little better for you?
No, I agree completely with Chris that all three players should be suspended right now, probably for the remainder of the season and the playoffs, and that would suffice. But for the team to be as a whole to be suspended, what league would ever do something like that? That would make the CFL as a whole look really just almost, I don't even know, like just Bush League, honestly.
Well, regardless, that's out of our hands. I've got your opinion on that. So you think, Mike, that the players should have been suspended from the moment that happened and that's it? And been suspended for the rest of the year. I think that would have been severe. I think that would have been severe based on the fact that it's kind of difficult for me to swallow. As much as I don't like the fact that they were out at 3 a.m. in the morning, I don't like the fact that we're assuming that they're guilty, and that's where I lead into John. John, your opinion.
Well, they're going to take this to the Players Association, and the Players Association is going to decide whether or not, to save face, they better just let these guys sit the rest of the year. And then it'll give the Rider Nation every excuse to say why they didn't win the Grey Cup, and they're gonna end up causing a big ruckus during the Grey Cup about it, because these guys are so vital to the team. Where I don't even know their names. What are their names, Chris?
Dwight Anderson.
Yeah, Taj Smith is the receiver that's doing the most damage right now.
And okay. Dwight Anderson, the cornerback.
Yeah. And there's another guy who's on the injury reserve list. I got their names written down here somewhere. Where the hell
it's
are
they? Aaron Riley, he's a backup receiver.
So the two of the guys are starters, right?
Yeah.
So
two of the guys are starters, one on defense, one on offense. But
look,
I know Taj Smith is the leading receiver that they got right now, or up there anyhow.
Yeah, for the Riders, they did a boo-boo. I mean, a big boo-boo. And they're making themselves look really, really stupid right now. And they're making themselves look like they'll do anything to make the Grey Cup come while it's there. You know what I mean? And they'll ignore the moralities. They'll ignore this crap that's going on in the Twitter world and the way the dressing room is being vocal and all this stuff. They're ignoring it. And I don't know.
And the salary cap?
I think that alone could suspend them for the whole entire year. there's no freaking way these guys can be playing with all these guys on their team without the salary going over the cap. I mean, come on. But are they going to look? The suspensions, guys, again, it's going to have to go to the Players Association, especially with the new contract coming up and everything. And if this is becoming that kind of a stinker that the league is getting involved, I don't know what to think of it. I really don't. I don't want to give Rider Nation any excuses to say why they didn't make it to the Grey Cup. But at the same time, management deserves whatever they're going to get, bottom line.
All right. So, first of all, Chris, I want to welcome you to the program. It's always nice to have somebody with a BC perspective. Your team, they've been like the Argos, like Saskatchewan, unlike Calgary, up and down all year. They haven't been a very consistent team.
We don't have a quarterback.
Is that important in the CFL? Is that important in the CFL?
Come on, give your head a shake with that one. We don't have a quarterback. We were doing just fine until Travis acted like an idiot.
Yeah.
We have a dominant defense out there, and they're winning games for us right now. And, I love my Lions without question, but come on. Our backup quarterback's playing for Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading on TSN that they're saying Lule is back practicing right now, so they're hoping he could play a little bit this week.
If this is his third shoulder separation. The first two had reconstructive surgery on it. Mine's been out four times. I've never had surgery on my shoulder, but I'll tell you, man, I can't. There's no way he's going to come back and do not that soon.
What about Buck Pierce?
Yeah,
I mean,
I love him to bits. I want him there. I just don't believe it.
What about Pierce?
Well, he performed, didn't he?
Yeah, I was
upset when Buck left Vancouver. I think that the man has more heart than anybody else on the team at that time. I admire him immensely, and he is one hit away from some mental
hospital. Chris went there again.
Oblivion.
Yeah, you know, I love the guy. He is the number one quarterback in the league right now in the fact that he has more heart than anybody else out there. And I don't mean in talent and in any way, shape, or form. He holds more respect, you know. I mean, not from guys from Winnipeg. They don't like him.
You got the same thing with Riley, the guy you guys gave up, to Edmonton, who you refer to as I think you were referring to him as your backup quarterback.
Yes, I was.
In Edmonton. And that guy's another suicide looking for a place to happen.
Oh,
yeah, man. And so is Dunnigan, and so is Lule, so is
Hey. But these guys, these guys are admirable. I mean, it's all because of courage. But you know, sometimes you have to be smart as well as, you know, brave, right?
Right. And then you look at somebody like Calvillo, who has thrown more balls into the crowd than any receiver. and then he's the number one quarterback in the league because he never takes hits, and he's there for 20 years. I'm not saying he doesn't take any hits anymore, because he certainly has this year. But, you know, yeah, he played smart football, and he got to be the best and the best and the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But at what cost? I don't admire the guy. Let his receivers open up.
Yeah, well, Chris, you're forgetting about the part where, you know, Buck Pierce doesn't have the same arm as Calvillo. He doesn't have the same accuracy, so he can't do what Calvillo does.
No.
It takes a lot of accuracy to throw into the crowd.
Pocket for another second, let his receivers open up. I mean, he hasn't done anything since Cahoon left. Because that guy is a beast.
What do you think your chances are in Regina, then? What do you think your chances are in Regina?
In what way?
Well,
in the playoff game.
Oh, the Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they get there.
Nice.
I've been calling
the
Stamps since the beginning of the season. It's going to be a Stamps tie cat, and the Stamps are going to take it, unfortunately, because I sure would like to see Hamilton.
Oh, man. You know the commissioner is going to be so ticked off if that's the Grey Cup. You talk about just a lame Calgary-Hamilton, please. I just hope to God that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That would be the worst possible Grey Cup we could possibly get.
I can tell you I wouldn't be happy.
It's
oh
not
going to
be the Tie Cats, guys. It's not going to be the Tie Cats. Look,
we could go on a tangent about what happened last year because I'm totally convinced that Argos didn't win it. So, you know, go for it.
Wait,
well,
so you're saying like the league rigged it, or what do you mean?
Well, do you think
that the league...
Okay, who watched the Western Final? When BC and Calgary played.
Yeah,
did you watch it?
Yeah.
We all watched it.
Have you watched any BC games in the last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, no, they didn't look like the same team.
Do you believe that our defensive backs would totally lay down in the first 2 minutes of a game?
I think they were just sort of caught off guard by Kevin Glenn.
That game happened? There's no way that
happened.
BC
and Toronto could not.
Every Calgary professional player that played that game and telling them that you would lay down for some league thing to let a team so you get more popular. Give me a break, Chris. I had you going for a pretty reasonable, smart guy until you start laying out that shit. That you're insulting every professional player on that field that would say, I'm going to put my efforts down, and this is not about me, it's about the league, and let's let the Argos win. Give me a break, dude.
Wait, he was talking about BC, and I assume he was talking about BC and Calgary.
No,
I'm talking about BC
Frank.
And Calgary. I'm not talking about Toronto right now at all.
I know you're not.
No, but you're saying
no, John.
Like
he's
down,
saying the semifinal. He's saying the semifinal last year, or should I say the final, the Western final, right?
Western
Final. I remember now, the Western Final, right? Because Saskatchewan lost the playoff. So you're saying that, and you're right, and then Cal, because BC won the division. So you're saying that BC laid down for the first quarter or whatever?
Yeah, it sure is what it looked like to everybody else.
Well, sure, it looked like everybody
probably,
who watched Toronto.
No, you know what, John?
John,
I can understand what he's saying.
John,
I can understand what he's saying. No, hang on. I can
understand
what Chris is saying.
I hear him.
No,
I hear
but,
him, Frank.
But here's
I hear
what,
him loud and clear.
Yeah, okay. Let me get this part out, please. So I agree with you, Chris, on the premise that BC laid down for the first quarter as payment for Ricky Ray going to Toronto from Edmonton. Look at how quiet it is in the room.
I'm not throwing that one out there.
Well, everybody says
you're just
the same thing about the Ricky Ray trade, that it was a fix, that the Argos got him and it was a fix for them to get the Grey
league,
Cup.
The league could not afford to have both of David Braley's teams in the Grey Cup.
Chris, you tell me that Montreal dropped the ball in the end zone so Toronto could make it to the Grey Cup. You tell me the last play of the game, the last seconds, that receiver dropped the ball, let it hit him. He did it on purpose so the Argos would make it to the Grey Cup. Come on.
I'm not
Chris,
telling
you
that.
BC.
You are.
No, come on.
I don't
Chris,
think
you
not mentioned the other.
John,
what he's saying is that
he feels like that BC purposely laid down for Calgary. But, Chris, you got to remember what happened in that game. First off, they had that initial touchdown. What happened next? Corey Banks had that pick six. And the reason that the Lions lost was because their offense couldn't do anything the entire game. Travis Ulle was frustrated. The Calgary defensive line was in his mug the entire time. And let's be honest, Mo Price, number 17 for Calgary, the receiver, is one of the fastest receivers in the CFL. And simply the Lions secondary couldn't keep up with the guy. I mean, he burnt them like three times. And that's just because he's the fastest guy in the league. So
they play their hearts out.
I don't see
no
that where the fix happened.
No way.
Calgary,
no
to
way.
Me, was just the better team.
That's
and it's been proven out this year that Calgary's the better team because they've dominated BC again this season.
So tell me who's laying down for us this year, Chris. Saskatchewan laid down at their home. Stampeders laid down, let us come back. Montreal laid down, let us come back. Who's laying
John,
down?
I never mentioned
anybody
the Argos,
laying down for the Argos this year. I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, well, so last year was just a lay down by the league and the rest of the league, and this year the Argos
the 100th anniversary Grey Cup. It had to be in Toronto. It had to be Toronto.
Chris,
it had to be at home. It had to be the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
It's all about a franchise that's failing with its fans.
Oh, come on. It's,
well, I mean,
that would be a mastermind. With
let's face it, Toronto Argonauts
people.
Have the lowest attendance in the league.
That's nothing new. So what? But that would involve a conspiracy of thousands of people to let the Argos win and make it to the Grey Cup. Come on, guys. Suck
well,
it up and just, you know, accept it. Accept
Chris,
it. We
Chris,
won.
You're coming off and saying this as if it absolutely can't happen.
It can't happen, Chris.
Okay, so under those circumstances, we're all in agreement that Lee Harvey Oswald was the killer.
Okay, hold on. That's, okay, look, Chris,
oh,
Chris, Chris, Chris and John, John.
Because there's no way that a conspiracy that large can happen.
This is the CFL. Oh, my God, Chris. Come on, guys.
I'm just asking a question.
John, we'll have to remember, and this is Chris, too. Let's remember, if you're going to go there about last year, what about the year before when BC, you know, when they're hosting the Grey Cup in their brand-new stadium, after starting 0-5, just miraculously ended up in the Grey Cup and winning it? So if we want to go there, let's go all the way to the season
before,
too.
They went on a roll. They went on a tear for the entire season. That wasn't.
Oh, and the Argos didn't go on a tear at the end of the season.
You had to watch those games. I was there.
Yeah, I was at all the Argo games, too, including the Grey Cup, and nobody was laying down on that bench. No way on the I was behind the Calgary bench. Nobody. I tell you, nobody was laying down. They were sweating. They were upset. They were all pumped up and intense because they were behind, and it was frustrating them. Cornish was doing nothing. Foldy had him the whole game, and when he got that fumble recovery, that was the end of the Stampeders. That's when the morale and the whole entire team, I saw it drained. Believe me, nobody laid down. Nobody. These guys play their hearts out. They love their what they do. They would not lay the – oh, no, guys. Let's just get that. People just don't do that, okay? This is not the 50s or the 60s where you're doing it because you got $100,000 on a game. Hey, let's make some money and let's call this game and fix it or something. Let the Argos win. Just doesn't happen. But I can see how the rest of the league, and I've seen it on Facebook, how frustrated they are. Because, Chris, you're not the only one who's been saying that. Okay, it's the funny thing is that a lot of people out there, and of course, Western Division teams are saying that, especially a lot of Edmonton fans. They're still hung over the fact that, you know, we got Ray, okay? You know, we got him, but the rest of the pieces have to fall in together. If Kacker wasn't there, if Owens wasn't there, if our defense wasn't there, there's so many pieces that have to fall together for the Argos to be there. They deserve it. They want it. I mean, I hope you guys do better. And nobody ever calls BC as a team that got it because the rest of the league wanted to save one of Braley's teams. Nah, come on, bud. No way.
As far as officiating and league is concerned, there is a perception that maybe some stuff looks kind of weird, but that sometimes is more or less because of the lack of transparency. And I don't want to suggest that transparency is a key to everything. I happen to believe that if the situation was created by the suspension of the two Argo players in the last at that game in Guelph, if they hadn't suspended them, we probably would have heard what they did, and I believe there would be somebody somewhere like Chris complaining about it. I think what the Argos did was right. There was something wrong done. A punishment was meted out, and therefore you can close the book. I think to take this full circle, to suggest that leagues promote teams, absolutely, that's the truth. It does happen. But hopefully, it doesn't, it's not the main reason why a team wins.
Hey, the Argos suspended the defensive guys last minute because they wanted to make sure the Ticats had a decent chance to make the playoffs. So, believe
and
me,
that's
what happened.
And that's the conspiracy in a different direction.
Right there. The CFL wants both teams in the Eastern Finals, so the Ticats got a little bit of help from the CFL, and the Argos is spending, and the Argos were forced to put in five new defensive backs who look lost. They just got the playbook the night before, and they said, here you go, guys, learn it, and it's a big game. It's against one of our rivals. So, yeah, the league wants the Ticats and the Argos in the Eastern Final, so the Argos I mean, come on. Let's not go there, guys. Stuff like that does
and,
not happen.
And part of the conspiracy is that another game is played in Guelph, a playoff game.
Yeah, a smaller stadium. Yep, that's right. They wanted
to... Look, if we're going to talk conspiracy, it has to do with David Braley. Like, look at the fact that for the first time in the CFL, you had back-to-back years where the host team made it to the Grey Cup and won it, and they happened to be the two teams that Braley owned. I mean, let's just call it.
It has nothing to do with the fact that the guy might be a really decent person who helps a lot of charities.
Right.
Who
I'm just saying,
maybe the league did him a favor. Let me finish. Who saves the league. He bails out two teams. It can't be for the fact that he might be an angel and maybe the gods up there are helping him out by rewarding him with two great cups for all the good he
karma.
Does. That can't be a possibility,
karma.
Right? No, that's
right,
but it has to be the...
No, I'm not. I'm disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that if there were something going on, it's not totally out of range to think that maybe the league did something for Braley for all he's done for the league, which I don't even blame him for doing it, to be honest with you. But if they did, you can see the evidence in front of you. The BC Lions and the Argos both win home Grey Cups. The Argos get Ricky Ray for Steven Giles and a kicker. I mean, we've been over this before. It's already put out there that Edmonton owed Braley money. And therefore, everyone thinks it was a side deal they did to get, you know, Ricky Ray to Toronto. So I don't see Chris coming out. He's not coming out of left field with this.
Left field. The only thing that's not on left field is the fact that Braley got rewarded the Grey Cup again when Winnipeg should have got it, okay? Even though Winnipeg was delayed
that.
1 year.
Yeah. Winnipeg or who should have got it?
Winnipeg. Winnipeg should.
It was Winnipeg's
stadium.
Turn.
Yeah, it was their turn,
was
and why Braley got it again? That doesn't make
first
sense.
To go
Winnipeg,
east-west.
That's because Winnipeg's community-owned. They don't have a private owner. That's a whole different story.
No, they're still going to get the Grey Cup. They're getting in 2007, I think. That's not the point. The point is that Braley, I found it fishy, why they couldn't give Winnipeg, if they say it takes a year or whatever. Well, it's next year. It's not this year. It's next year. And why is BC getting it? You know, it should be going to
Winnipeg. So BC's getting the cup next year, right, John?
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Right?
No. We're getting the game.
Yeah, the Grey Cup.
Okay.
The game.
He thought, he's like, no, we're not getting the cup next year. Like, it's already pre-planned.
Okay. I'd love to be able to say we're getting the cup next year, okay? But the Grey Cup game is in Vancouver in 2014.
Well, I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, game. They're getting the cup. They're getting the Grey Cup game, yeah. So why is he getting it? Why didn't Winnipeg get it?
No, the reason that they got it was...
You guys understand what John's saying? What John's saying is if there is any favoritism, he gets plenty of favoritism by getting the Grey Cup 3 out of 4 years.
No,
yeah.
Hang
on, just... Frank, just for a second here. I think Braley got the Grey Cup in 2014 in BC on a default. I think he was the only one that was willing to step up when Winnipeg wasn't able to do it.
No, it didn't have anything to do with Winnipeg.
Or Ottawa. Wasn't it supposed to be in Ottawa?
No, it was supposed to be in Hamilton. Like they have a rotation schedule for the teams, and Hamilton was supposed to be up 2014. They didn't feel like the stadium was going to be ready in time. Yep, and then the league office put up a bid, and then David Braley put up the most money for it. Therefore, that's why they get it in 2014.
Yeah. He stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, he put up the most. He had to pay for it.
And this league should be damn thankful for David Braley.
Yeah, they
and
should.
And that's what we're all saying. And, Chris, that's what we're all saying.
I'll tell you, I am in Vancouver.
They should be thankful for him.
The man saved our franchise.
Yeah, and he saved our franchise here, too. And it bothers Mike because that means that gets in the way of Saskatchewan winning the Grey Cup.
No, it doesn't bother me. I was happy for Braley and the Lions winning again in 2011. Because I want the league as a whole to do well, you know? I mean, I agree with what Chris is saying with everything. And I knew from the jump street the Argos were going to win the Grey Cup last year because it was too easy. I mean, the league had to do it. The Argos needed it, and it didn't have as big of an effect as they thought it would this year. As we saw, their last game had like 18,000 people. But... The Argos are what they are. I mean, we know the Argos only going to draw well if they play the Ticats or Montreal, and it has to be a game on the weekend, and that's it. I mean, we just – there's no more
dream. It's never going to happen again. There has to be a form of consistency. I know Chris doesn't think much of the Argos, and I know most CFL fans don't think much of the Argos, but it surely would be nice as a season ticket holder that I could block out 1 or 2 days a week as CFL home games for my team, not go 4 or 5 different days out of 9 games and have 4 or 5 and use up every day of the week. Ridiculous. Come on. That's asking fans a lot. That's asking a lot of me. You know, and I go because I love the team.
I'm going to make it plain and simple. This is how it is. In Toronto, the Leafs don't even sell out during the week, or the Raptors when it's Florida Panthers playing, or when you got the Memphis Grizzlies playing. They don't sell out. How come no one's saying anything about that? It's a 20,000-seat capacity, and they can't sell out for that. It's during the week. Oh, but for the Argos guys, we expect them to sell out on a Thursday night with the Indy race the next day, and when 20,000 people show up, everybody's saying there's no support.
Or on Tuesday.
You guys smoke
Chris, do you guys have any games on Tuesdays?
No, we had one this year or something. It was I don't know what it was. It's dumb. I mean, you guys' schedule is all screwed up because of the arena, the stadium.
Exactly.
And we don't have a new stadium in there. That's just fact. If you look at the stats for Vancouver, we don't get any fans out until after Labor Day, till summer's over, because we have so much going on in the city over here. Who wants to go into a dome and watch football? So it's really difficult to get the fans out before Labor Day. Personally, I'd love to see the CFL mirror the NFL with the season.
I don't know if I'd want to be playing the Grey Cup in Saskatchewan in January.
What's the difference between that and Green Bay?
Well,
nobody wants to go to Green Bay.
They don't have the Super Bowl in Green Bay.
You got state of the art heating that heats the base of the field. Not like in Saskatchewan, it's just concrete. Okay, you got volunteers who will lick the snow off the field a mile long in Green Bay to do it, to clean it. You don't got that anywhere else, okay? So let's not compare Green Bay to Regina when it comes to playing in January there. And plus, there's never been a Super Bowl in Green Bay in January that I recall. Actually, there was.
There's been playoff games the week before, 2 weeks before.
Yeah, but they've got to get in the playoffs.
January,
it it's not a guarantee, though, that they play at that time of year, that they play, you know, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. It's late.
Doesn't the CFL start in the summer just as a way to sort of be away from the NHL season? Isn't that sort of their whole plan, that they can have more attention in Canada because of that?
You know what? It's always been like this, guys. I don't remember there being a schedule change at any time. I think it's always been like this. And what you're saying makes a lot of sense, Mike. Not because of because they're trying to stay away from the NHL in that sense. In Canada, all we had was the NHL and CFL back in the day. The NFL, you had to, you know, the NFL wasn't as impactful here.
Yeah.
The NFL wasn't that big in Canada until television really hit it big, until the Cosell era, until Monday Night Football. And that goes back a long time. That goes back 30 years, 30, 35, 40 years. Growing up, the NFL here, we had very little to do with the NFL here. We were satisfied with hockey, and we were satisfied with sports, you know, 2-3 games a week, seeing them on TV. It's a whole different world today.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world today.
I think it's time for a break.
I don't feel like taking one. By the way, John, I'm on the phone because Blog Talk Radio has screwed up again.
Oh.
I only have one. I don't even have any commercials. I got no commercials or anything. They're all gone.
Oh, okay.
Here's the break, guys. Okay, quiet for a second. You're listening to Candid Frank Live. With you tonight is Chris Jones out of BC, Mike, otherwise known as Manasseh, I can't say his last name, G-something, and the other G is John, no stranger, Granger, and I'm Frank Sinise. Hope you're enjoying the program. We're on from 10 to 12, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Okay, we're back. Now, so let's talk about, we got Chris on here. He's new, and I've always admired his posts on the CFL Best League in the World. Chris, you're a big fan of the CFL, and I get the fact where you're come from. You've got a different perspective. In the West this year, realistically, we've got Saskatchewan up against BC. You don't seem too confident that Saskatchewan will lose to BC?
I don't see it happening. Do I want it to happen? Hell yeah. But realistically, Buck Pearson coming in...
What will it take for it to happen? Will a quarterback, the BC quarterback, have to work a miracle, namely Buck Pierce, or if Lule comes back? You know, they got 2 weeks. No, we've got a rest week here.
The only thing that's going to happen, Buck Pierce is going to have to do it for the remainder for us. If we go to Grey Cup, it's going to be Buck in behind center. Lule's not going to come back, and if he does, he's never going to be up to game speed. Look at Ricky Ray when he came back. It took him 2 or 3 games to really get it up and going again. Lule's not going to come back. It's his throwing arm.
Ouch.
He's not going to lay it out 60 yards. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, what we needed in BC was him not to get hurt.
Yeah. So Buck Pierce has to come up with a magical game or magical games, 3 games in a row.
Three in a row.
For it to work for you guys. What do you think, whoever Calgary, do you feel if BC does win, do you think they got a shot against Calgary, or is Calgary invincible from your perspective?
Calgary's not invincible. They never are.
Okay.
Damn right.
Okay.
You know,
so you figure
BC's got a stronger defense.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right,
so,
Mike, your view on the West.
If we get down into a defensive battle, we're going to win it.
Your view on the West, Mike?
Yeah, could I ask Chris a question just real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was wondering now, so what year did Braley buy the Lions?
Oh, God.
It was like in the early 2000s, wasn't it? Something like 2000, 2001?
It's been at least 12 years ago.
Okay, so at the time, from what I understand, the Lions were really struggling to get people in Vancouver to care about the team, right?
Yeah. Do you remember Murray Pesum?
No, I don't. But no, well, the reason I'm asking is like because the Argos are currently in that situation. So, what do you think the Lions did just from a marketing standpoint to get the team to be more relevant in Vancouver?
They did two things. One, they hired Bob Ackles.
Okay.
And Bob Ackles brought in Wally Buono. And they changed the culture of the team. And when they changed the culture of the team,
the city woke up.
So the team winning is what got people to tune back in?
Doesn't that always get the city tuned back in?
Well, that's not really happening in Toronto right now.
But that's Toronto.
No, listen, Chris, you don't have the Blue Jays to compete with in the summertime. You don't got the Raptors or the Leafs. You only got the Vancouver Canucks that you guys are competing with. And the fans
didn't
show up to those guys in the playoffs, okay? So
but we don't
lame.
Have snowboarding. We don't have water skiing. We don't have surfboarding.
You can't do that 24
we don't have
hours,
all of these
dude.
Other things that Vancouver competes against, right? We have a city that is so diverse that the people just don't come to the game. So, yeah, we have some serious issues in here, and all the big cities do. When you go into Regina and of a city of 200,000 people and you get 35,000, 40,000 people out to a game, you're talking about 20% of the population of the city shows up for a game.
Wow.
Okay? You know why? There's nothing else to do but curling.
Oh, my God. That's good. I like that.
You know, unfortunately...
Have you ever been to Regina?
No. I know what you mean, man. I've been to Winnipeg, and I guess that's about as close as you can get.
Yeah, there's not much difference, right?
Yeah.
And same with Edmonton. And I mean, they still have the big signs going into Edmonton that says City of Champions. And I don't know if you've looked at the Eskimos and the Oilers lately, but they ain't anything but.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Well, it's true. Even the new hat they designed says City of Champions.
Yeah. And how can you do that?
Seriously.
That's what you got. It's what you got. It's what you've got to work with. I agree with Chris, and unfortunately, there are sophisticated cities. Look at Montreal, guys. I mean, Montreal's alive right now, but, you know, there was a team called the Baltimore Stallions.
Yeah, we beat them in the Grey Cup. Calgary.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, that Baltimore Stallions team is actually the Montreal Alouettes.
Yes, it is.
When there was no Montreal Alouettes. So, you know, it's not about population. It's not about populace. It's about the attractiveness of going to a CFL game. It doesn't have the same shine, you know, that it might have had a few years ago. And I agree with Chris a lot, because Vancouver in the past 20, 25 years has become very sophisticated. It's not the same Vancouver that people might – let's put it this way. If you lived in Vancouver 20 years ago and you went back there today, you would not recognize it. Would that be a fair statement, Chris?
1986, there. Vancouver changed forever.
Yeah, and
what
caused the change?
We had Expo 86. We invited the world. They came and they stayed.
Wow.
There you go. Okay.
They won't go home.
And it was also the Hong Kong fiasco. That was the Hong Kong fiasco as well.
Just one stat I want to throw out there to you guys. The teams that do best at the gate are the teams that have a root in the community as far as football, the high schools, the university. Saskatchewan has a great base of high schools, football programs, and, you know, their university team always does well. I think it's the Huskies they're called.
Yeah.
And then you got Montreal, another one that always gets the sellout recognition, a huge, huge commitment in the government and the sport of football. Quebec is another foundation and a hotbed for it. In Toronto, not so much. They cut back on that. Their programs, their school, high schools are shrinking as far as the ones that have a league and are in a league in the city. And in those other cities, it's booming. In BC in the last 10 years, it's gone up 45% as far as house leagues when it comes to football. So it has to do with the roots of the community that it is the reason why it flourishes. In Toronto, it doesn't have that. Okay, and there's so many reasons that we can't compare our problems with attendance to the rest of the country, which you guys will never get. Okay,
we have the same problem in Vancouver. There's very little football, junior football, high school football in BC. It just doesn't really happen.
It was horrible, Chris. It was horrible. It's getting better now. It's getting better now. I heard it's getting better, and that's the reason why your attendance, you know, season ticket base is even better. I mean, the stadium, you know, it's kind of sad because it's a nice stadium. It's renovated. You know, you guys got the indoor-outdoor thing going on, and it still doesn't look good with all the empty seats. I mean, it doesn't. You might have 30,000 in there, and it looks half full. You know, it's
it's a 56,000 seat stadium. Until we can do that, it's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm going to throw some ideas here. Vancouver is probably one of the worst cities in the country for junior football, and the reason for it is we don't get any snow. I know that's going to sound really weird, but because we get 6 days of snow all year round, soccer is such a huge sport on the West Coast that all the kids want to play soccer, and they play it all winter long. Football's too costly. It's cheaper to throw your kids into soccer.
True.
Parents have to sit on the sidelines, you know? So, I don't know. That's why we don't have football out here, is because every kid is playing soccer. And they wreck the fields, and the football fields look like garbage because they trash them all winter long.
And the rain's there, so they're all chewed up.
Yeah. And what kid wants to go play football on that? And it's tough. It's more expensive to play football. I played lacrosse, and, you know, it was the same thing. You don't get the kids. The good kids are out playing soccer because that's where mom and dad want to put them because it's cheaper.
Well, it's literally nothing to play soccer.
So, Chris, what do you think about the rumors about the guy, what's his name, John Bon Jovi, potentially buying the Lions?
Really?
Yeah, they were saying he was in town for the Ryder game, and now there's rumors saying that he's considering buying the team.
I don't think Braley would sell it to him.
Did
Braley
come out and
say
that he's trying to sell the team in a couple years? In like 2-3 years?
Braley said he's going to sell both teams before he's turned 75. What is he, 70, 71 right now?
He's 72,
he said he may keep one of them, but more than likely he will sell both of them by the time he turns 75. Why does he want to do football? The Lions are going to go because they have a value. They make money.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good investment for whoever gets it as long as they keep their nose out of it. If they want to micromanage it, they're going to kill it. So David Braley won't sell it to anybody who doesn't know anything about football. And John Bon Jovi knows nothing about the CFL.
He's on the wall of fame.
He did own an arena football team, and he was part of a group that just failed to buy an NFL team, so that's why he's in the market to get a team.
Yeah, but you're right. Braley won't sell it to him.
He worked too hard to make this franchise survive. He brought it back from the brink, and he's not just going to hand it over to somebody else. Look at that fiasco in Calgary. Look at the fiasco in Toronto. Giving it to a bunch of morons who shouldn't own football teams.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that having a high-profile owner like Bon Jovi would be good, like just from an attention and a media standpoint?
Nah.
It worked in Toronto with Gretzky.
Yeah, it worked
when
Gretzky and McNallen gang candy.
No, game. let's call it. No, the Gretzky McNall thing was a totally different thing. First of all, John Candy was the root of all that, what was going on. That guy was the reason why that thing even really more or less evolved the way it did, okay? He brought in everybody else. And
because of his
smaller
fame.
Part owner.
Right, because he was a famous guy.
Because of his fame.
And because of his fame, and he loved the team. He really was a Torontonian who loved the Argos, went to all the Argo games prior to owning the team. Gretzky just fell into it. You know, it was a business thing for him. And McNall, you know, he wanted a big umbrella of owning sporting teams, and that was just more publicity for him. So,
I think McNall
really
brought Gretzky in. Okay, because John Candy was working out of L.A. McNall was down there with Gretzky in L.A. And
their agent knew each other. The blonde guy agent who was Gretzky's agent, he knew them all three. And basically they got – anyway, you know, that was a totally different era. I don't think the place boomed. It was a new stadium thing that people – they took over the team when the Argos went into that stadium. Yeah, and of course it generated more interest. We got Ishmael up here, all these little things that fell into place. You know, more NFL words were being used by getting a Heisman Trophy winner. A guy went to the NFL, chose the Argos instead, and now this big high-profile name, Gretzky, wants to be the owner of it, and you got John Candy. And so it got a little bit of hype, and that all kind of fizzled away. Once the people went to football games and saw it in a football atmosphere about 2-3 years in a row, and that new stadium smell went away. So we went back to the normal crowds which were around 25,000-30,000. And they've never gone away. Remember back in the 80s and the 90s, they said the Argos are going to die out, the people are – it's fiddling out. But we've always maintained a 25,000-30,000 fan base in a place where we compete with the hardest competition when it comes to the sporting fan. So I think it just shows that there is a strength here. And I'll guarantee you one thing, guys. Not one CFL Argonaut season ticket holder is probably going to go to the NFL game here in Toronto. You know what I mean? We're still going to go. If the NFL team ever came here, we're still going to go to our CFL games. Why do you think it's going to die out? I have no idea. I'm not going to stop going. If anything else, probably buy more tickets. You know? So it's live and kicking as much as it can be here. And it's not going to go away. The Argos are going to be alive for a long time. They're the oldest franchise, and they're going to have that record for a very long time. Sorry to say. All our haters.
Well, I guess you shut everybody up, John.
Our blog talk radio.
Good job.
Cut them all off.
All right, yeah. We were talking about the playoffs. Okay, so Mike, in the final, the way it looks right now, because we've got a week of rest here, the Western final. How do you figure a week of rest?
How do you figure a week of rest? You don't think that these games are important?
Oh, no, they're not.
I actually don't think they are important. Let me put it a different way. How does the season change with the games this week? Whose season can change this week?
I never said the season doesn't change, but Saskatchewan has to come out and play because they're not been playing all that well lately, and they have to come out and prove that they can continue to play hot. Okay? So do the Lions. The Lions are failing miserably. They have to come out and play hard against Calgary to prove that we can beat them. Okay? Calgary's not going to show
up. Hard?
I don't believe that.
But Chris, are they going to play as hard as they would have played if there was actually something on the line? The temptation by the teams to rest their important players is just too large at this point. You know, it's all about risk and reward, right? How much risk is a team going to, you know, take this week with nothing at stake, literally nothing at stake? That's why I'm calling it a rest week. Neither Toronto, Hamilton. Let's go in the West. Let's get away from the West for a second. In the East, there's no importance on the games that are played this week, other than Winnipeg saving face, and you know, Hamilton and Montreal. The Argos are definitely, they've had
crossover.
So many injuries. Huh?
Or trying for the crossover.
Who is?
Winnipeg. This all started with Saskatchewan forfeiting the season, didn't it?
If Saskatchewan had a forfeit of the season, it would have made Edmonton and
Winnipeg
games this week important. Exactly. Which would have been nice.
It's important to Edmonton and Winnipeg.
Yeah, but it's not. And at this point, the league hasn't done anything. So really, it's a week where I think they're all going to be retooling, if you will. So we've got
Ricky
time
Ray is sitting. Ricky Ray is sitting. Thorpe is sitting. Most likely, I think Spencer Watt's going to sit. He's got a sore neck. Robert
Cacher
McCune
might sit.
Yeah, McCune's got a banged up knee. So those guys, you know, they're going to be more guys sitting on the bench by the time game time comes up Friday. So all the practice roster guys get a crack at it, hopefully.
And then in the West, I mean, the playoff game is going to be a real murder game. That's going to be a tough game. That's going to be one of the better games, the BC-Saskatchewan game as well. It's almost going to be like last year where the semifinal is going to be more important than the actual finals in the East and the West. I really believe that it's really going to be, you know, a real bell ringer for both those, because both first place teams can be had, even Calgary.
Oh yeah, I'm just hoping it's a repeat of 2010, where if you guys remember that double overtime game where Jason Clairmont had the game winning touchdown, and I'm just hoping the same thing happens, but this time with G-Roy and he gets his last revenge against the Lions.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
How do you figure G-Roy needs revenge?
Well, because in that last game between the Riders and the Lions, when he had that fumble in the first quarter, you could just see Corey Banks, Dante Marsh, they were just trash-talking him to death the whole game. And it just every time they played, they kept doing it. So I want to see him get his last little hurrah against them. And because Banks and Marsh are probably the biggest loudmouths in the league, and I really can't stand those guys. And I'm looking forward to the line.
G-Roy came out and said, what are you going to, you know, how is Corey Banks going to affect your game now that you're playing against him? And he says, I've been ignoring him for 10 years. I can ignore him for another one.
But, I mean, they were the disrespect, though, like they were sitting there doing the Superman pose in his face, and you could read what they were saying. They were just cussing him out, and, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I know they may not have liked him or they didn't like the fact that he got as much attention as he did, but come on, you know, that's
G-Roy
just as a man.
G-Roy's always got the most attention. I'm not buying that. Those guys are all good buddies, and this is all in fun, and they're all playing it out, okay? They're doing it for the fans. They're doing it for you. They're doing it for whoever else. And that's what it is. When the game's all over, those guys are all buddies, and they're all going home together. So, you know, I'm not buying that one for a heartbeat. G-Roy's got nothing to – he chose to go to the Riders only because no other team in the league wanted him. He was shopping his talents around, and Saskatchewan wanted him and would pay them big bucks. $200,000 for G-Roy for this year.
I know. I can't
and
believe
who
would
have done that?
Right.
Okay.
Well,
and you tell me they're
the
not over their salary cap?
They're up against the salary cap. Everybody else is up against the salary cap.
Yeah. But not
but,
the
I mean,
Riders.
That's right.
The league lets you go over
the
salary cap, and if you're over the cap, you have to forfeit your first-round draft pick. And if you're the Riders, it's worth it, right? Wouldn't you rather have a Grey Cup than just some Canadian first-round draft pick? I mean, what is that?
And the fine also is whatever you're over the salary cap.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right, so it's worth it.
But it's the one-shot deal, right? The team is playing well.
Yeah,
Saskatchewan has a lot
of
hope.
You win a Grey Cup and David Graley writes a check for $500,000, would that be a big deal? Lions wouldn't care less, right? Wally wouldn't go over the cap. So.
Well, I mean, the Lions are paying a lot of money, too. I mean, you got Lule with $450,000. They paid Manny Arsenault, like, almost, I think, like $190,000, $200,000. So they got plenty of big contract guys, too.
Yeah, and we ditched G-Roy and Arlo, Arland.
Right. Right, so you replaced G-Roy's contract with Manny Arsenault's. But,
yeah.
But Arsenault's deal replaced. It's overrated.
So the question wasn't answered, Mike.
We now have the best running back in the league.
Mess
he's just 17 games behind. 250 yards Stefan Logan got in the last game. 250 yards. Yeah, it was against Edmonton.
Do you think that means Andrew Harris is gone after this season?
No. I don't know.
How's that even playing out? I mean, I'm imagining the guy's pretty ticked off. Is that?
I would say he's pretty ticked off. I'd be ticked off if Wally Buono came out and said, at 73 years old, I can suit up and get more than 2 yards per play.
Whoa.
That would be embarrassing.
Wow.
I mean, Wally came out in publicly and said that. He says, he's only getting 2.2 yards per carry. I can do better than that. Where's my pads?
Wow.
Now,
so much for a good Canadian
running
back.
Wally does not come out into the media for anything. It's the first time I've ever heard him say anything bad about a player. But he obviously was pissed at Andrew.
Hey, was that like a response to Andrew complaining in the media about not getting the ball enough?
We need an OC, okay? We do not have an offensive coordinator.
Hasn't Chapdelaine been there for like 10 years?
Yes. And that was 11 years too long.
Wow.
Except for the time he split to go to Edmonton, wasn't it? And then he came back the next year.
Yeah.
Thought for sure that he was gone. That was a good thing. We blew
didn't
it.
Last long.
We had Dickinson. David Dickinson wanted to come to Vancouver
goodness.
To be our OC. He still owns his house
done.
In Surrey. Unbelievable. We blew it. Wally blew it because he was loyal to Chapdelaine.
I don't see what the big deal with Dickinson is, to be honest with you. I don't think he's that great of an offensive coordinator.
I think he's the main reason why the quarterbacks do so well there.
Yes.
Well, I mean, their passing game, they're like the fifth best passing team in the league. I mean, they depend on the run. It's all about John Cornish for them.
It's all about a balanced offense. And you can't get a balanced offense without a coordinator. Now, I have a question for you. How many head coaches in this league were defensive coordinators, and how many of them were offensive coordinators, and which ones are winning?
Well, here in Toronto, it's an offensive coordinator.
I'll tell you.
In Saskatchewan,
we got Benny
offensive
in Vancouver,
coordinator.
And he's a defensive guy, and we're not doing all that good.
Now, what about Corey Chamberlain in Saskatchewan? There's another one.
Defensive guys should not be head coaches. They cannot make judgment calls on offensive plays, and that's the only time a head coach actually does anything. Do they actually make a decision on defense?
What was
no,
Don Matthews
don't.
Originally?
That's where their expertise is.
Yeah, wasn't
what was
Matthews
Don
a
Matthews
guy?
Originally? Wasn't
yeah,
he defensive?
Used to be a D coordinator. Yeah.
But I guess he could be the exception that makes the rule.
Wally Buono was a defensive coordinator.
Oh, there you go.
And that's,
he's like the winningest
the
coach
exception.
Of all time.
I know. There's an exception to every rule. He became a student of the game. But, I mean, look at Rich Stubler. One of the best defensive minds in the league couldn't be a head coach.
Because he doesn't have the right personality for it, you know? It's like,
didn't have the right personality, didn't have the insight to play offense.
Even what about George Cortez? Last year he's considered the top offensive
Yike.
Mind in the league, and it was a disaster in Hamilton. I mean, the guy, you know, some guys just have to have the personality for it, right? The leadership skills.
Yeah, some guys just implode. And I believe part of the reason why Saskatchewan's been having problems this year is when Cortez has sort of lost it a little bit.
Like on against Calgary, a freaking idiot.
Yeah,
how do you not run the ball? I mean, that's crazy, man. When it's a tight game, you got the best running back in the league and you refuse to run it. It's just, it boggles my mind.
Who?
Yeah,
who?
I said it. No, I did. I said it. Corey Sheets is the best running back. I don't care. John Cornish, you can take him all day, but he benefits from a good offensive line. He doesn't make plays. He just runs through a gap.
You know what?
And
I do not like John Cornish one iota, and he's from my hometown, New Westminster. But he is a far better running back.
Oh, my God. Far better? You got to be kidding me.
Far better. No,
what?
I'm not.
Oh, that's
he
crazy.
Does it. He moves the ball.
Let's find
his
out
line,
in the playoffs what happens.
Opens it for him. Seriously. He has – that's – Any back in that system can benefit tremendously when you got that kind of openings. Sheets has to make plays. Sheets makes guys miss, gets the ball in the middle.
Go look at the schedule. Go look at the schedule that Saskatchewan was up against in the first 10 games. Okay? They were against Winnipeg and Montreal and Edmonton and all the little itty-bitty teams in this league. They didn't start playing powerhouses until the second half, and Sheets hasn't done anything since then.
Okay,
so,
in the first half of the year, they played Calgary twice. Sheets averaged 165 yards in those two games. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's my schedule?
Yeah, go look at it. They
well,
played Calgary
well, really,
like
what really,
ma-
what really matters is what really matters is what happens in the playoffs, guys. I mean, you know, we've got a pretty good running back here that when it mattered, he did pretty good. He ran in the playoffs in the three games over 500 yards. So, you know, we got a guy, Kackert can run pretty good. He's been injured all year. He's not in the – I'm not putting him in the discussion for this year. But I will say that he has an opportunity, again, to show how good a running back he is in the playoffs. And and we've heard it before,
yeah.
And we'll hear it again, that it's a balanced attack. If Ray can pass and Kackert can run, the Argos have a good shot against whoever they're up against. So, you know, DJ Gable's not a bad running back. He's looked ordinary recently.
Yeah.
DJ Gable.
Gable's
you know, he's looked ordinary lately, but he you know.
So how do you guys see the playoffs playing out? How are we, you guys want to make picks up for the first round? Or?
I'm trying to do, but you interrupted me by not answering.
Oh, my
bad. We've got Chris over there that wants to see BC win, but he's not sure they can do it without
them.
But he can't vote against them, so he's picking them just
because. I can't vote against them.
Right, so he's picking them
just
because. Right, I'm saying that Montreal beats Hamilton. Go ahead, Mike. Your call now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Montreal beats Hamilton too.
Sorry, I'm watching the NFL game. Sorry, guys.
How disloyal of you.
You know what? I've never
football
done that.
Loyal of me. I'm not just a one-sided fan. I love football.
Okay.
Period,
hey.
Dude.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Just, I don't
cool.
discriminate.
So,
how could
so
you
who's
watch
gonna
the Seahawks
win, who's
and the
gonna
Rams
win the playoffs this year, John?
Well, like you said, Frank, Montreal is going to upset Ticats and Guelph, and they're going to come to Toronto where we're going to just lay it down to them. It's going to be a tight game in the first half.
Well, we weren't going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the East-West finals. Right now we're just talking about the playoff games, the first playoff games. We got 2 weeks to talk about.
The semifinals.
Yeah, the semifinals, John.
I agree with Frank's picks.
I don't know, Frank. Who'd you pick in the West?
Saskatchewan.
It's going to be Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And it's going to be a great game. I think BC is going to play a lot better than people give them credit for.
Yeah, you've been following the picks on our Facebook group there, Frank?
Every so often, yeah.
Who's on the top?
I don't know. You are.
Who's the number one pick? I am. Oh my God. BC and
but
Hamilton.
You admitted yourself that you're picking BC just cuz.
Yeah, and I've never bet against them for the simple reason I don't want to lose my money because they can come out of nowhere and beat anybody.
You know what? You make a valid point there. And my thing is, though, I don't know. You know, I could be making a mistake only because I'm disappointed in Smith's second half against Hamilton. He really looked ordinary. Hamilton really shut him down. So it's quite possible you're right that Hamilton will win.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys watching the game?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Oh, my gosh.
The game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, we got another caller in here, guys. Let's say hello to our new caller. Who's on the phone?
Hey, this is Mike Townsend.
What's that?
This is Mike Townsend. What's up, Frank?
Hey,
how
you doing?
Boy?
Hey, I'm
Mike
right.
Townsend,
Chris.
So, Mike,
doing?
You want to get in on the action here? Who's going to win the semifinals?
What team was that? Was I talking about Montreal and Hamilton?
Right, Montreal and Hamilton and Saskatchewan and BC.
The Montreal-Hamilton, I'm going with Montreal. Even though I'm a Hamilton fan, I'm going with Montreal just because of the Trey Smith-Deron Carter connection.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. And what about the West?
If DeMarco's playing, I'm going with Saskatchewan. If Buck Pierce is playing, I'm going to kind of ride with BC a little bit because I see how the offense started clicking from DeMarco to Buck Pierce.
There you go. And is there anything else you wanted to comment? Is there anything else you want to comment on that we've been talking about? You're another American that likes the CFL.
I heard y'all talking about running backs in the CFL.
Who do you think's the best running back?
Right now, C.J. Gable and John Cornish.
What? Oh, my God.
Just got Mike upset.
You got to be kidding me, man.
And Corey Sheets is a close third, right? Corey Sheets is a close third.
Yeah.
Man, you got C.J. Gable ahead of Corey Sheets? You got to be kidding me, man. That's crazy, man.
Well, wow. I mean, that's my opinion as far as the best running backs. I mean, I like Corey Sheets. And, you know, C.J. Gable been playing his lights out. He's slowed down the last couple of games, but he also been playing his lights out, man. You can't take that away from me.
I'm with Mike. I would take Gable
over
Sheets.
I like C.J. Gable.
What? Take it. Look at him. Oh, everybody's talking about Gable. I was like, come on, guys. The guys had played a half a season of good football. Sheets has had 2 years.
He's played a half a season of good football, and that's it.
He played last year, too. You forgot about last season, right? Yeah, you forgot about
that. And how did he do?
He did great. What you mean, how did he do? What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, he did. Of course, he did great.
Is there one there? It was Harrison Cornish last year that we're going to run for the title.
No, that was for the Canadian rushing title. That's different, man.
No. Cornish won the overall last year.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Not because he was Canadian, but because he was a running back.
Yep.
What a Gable
was it. Gable wasn't here.
Exactly.
I know. I'm just pulling your leg, man. I don't know. Gable, he's a good running back, yes. Is he top three? If you put all the running backs that, you know, if your healthy numbers are out there, I don't know about top. I see him top four, yeah. I don't know if he's top three, though.
But I think we all agree that we'd all rather watch Gable and Sheets than John Cornish. I mean, John Cornish, you couldn't pick a more boring running back.
No,
yeah, he kind of bores you to death.
Cornish picks his spots, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He picks his spots. And, but
you couldn't find
going,
a more exciting running back than Gable.
One, yeah.
Absolutely.
Once,
that's
going,
true.
Cornish wears down the defense, as we've seen what happened in the last game that was played against Saskatchewan. He wears down the defense. But what, you know, he picks his spots, but once he gets going, you can't stop him. You can't stop him.
Nope.
He looks like he's running.
Who was it that was pulling cheats out there? John, was that you, or was it Mike that was begging on the sheets being the best there? Did you ever look at the numbers and how many carries? Mike, how many carries did Cornish have this year? How many carries did Sheets have? And let's forget about being three games down or whatever else, but actual touches per yard. If you extrapolated Cornish out to how many touches that Sheets had, Cornish would have 1,900 yards.
Yeah, that's because Cornish got a better offensive line. That's a whole nother conversation.
But I'm sorry. It's about putting yards on the field. 110 yards, we get 7 points. That's all that matters. Yes, you have an O-line. Yes, you have a quarterback. Yes, you have everybody else. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter.
It's all about
your team. Your team is your team. It's all about the team. It's not about John Cornish. It's about the Calgary Stampeders putting the ball in the end zone. And they're doing it better than anybody else right now.
And that's the fact. The fact is that they win with him. They win with Cornish. Sheets has not been a factor the last few weeks.
Oh, the last game, not the last few weeks, the last game.
Well, you know.
No, he hasn't been a factor in the last 6 weeks.
Six? Well, okay, man, now you're just making up stuff, man. Come on.
No, I'm not.
What about the game?
He came back, he was barely active.
He was barely active.
He played one good game, and now he's boating it again.
Okay, so you forgot the two games against BC then, right?
Okay. Where's your stats there, buddy?
Okay. You remember the play against BC at BC. There's three guys in the backfield. He shakes off all three, cuts up the field, breaks two ankles, and from that point on, the Riders completely took over on offense. You remember that game, right? The game the Lions were wearing the black jerseys?
Yep.
Yeah, remember that game? Yeah,
I remember the game.
That shows you how good a player is. When he makes a play, it changes the whole tide of the game. Now, that's what he did. So I don't know where you're getting this whole 6 weeks from. I don't know where you got that from. So you just
but you know
put that up.
Though, a lot of defenses right now.
So you're talking about 80 yards.
Yeah, those
80 yards in that game.
Right, that all came in the second half. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Is once he made that play in the third quarter, from that point on, the offense took over and he took over. And all of a sudden, the Lions' defense looked all shaky, and they didn't know. They were all undecisive on what to do. I remember that game. That was the game that turned the season around.
Yep, sure was. I remember the game too. But now with Corey Sheets, a lot of these defenses are zeroing in on him, so he's not getting the big yardage that he was getting before. They lock and loading on him, so you know they stopping him. The big yardage that he's going to get now, they was getting before. It's not going to happen.
Well, Corey Sheets
Listen,
guys. Corey Sheets is a great quarterback. Running back. Let's be frank. The truth is, we can all decide which running back's better. But it's true. Everybody said the same thing, and I think we can all agree that it's a team sport. But at the end of the day, who's more entertaining to watch then, and who wins more? And that's why I give my hat, you know, my tip of the hat to Cornish. Last year when the Argos won the Grey Cup, Chad Cackert got a lot of the credit, and I think he deserved it. He showed that he could win, and essentially that's what's going to happen, guys, in the playoffs. We can all talk we want. We can talk smack all we want, but at the end of the day, somebody's going to lose in 2 weeks. Somebody's going to win, and I believe the credit's going to go to the running back regardless of who wins, not because of who he is.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, that's all. It's all about winning. But you know what? I can't think. For me, Corey Sheets is a wonderful. He makes. You know, there's nothing I like better than watching Corey Sheets. You know, make guys miss. There's nothing I enjoy more than watching Cackert bounce off a couple of guys and get another 10, 15 yards. There's nothing better I like than watching John Cornish have three guys hanging on to him while he runs into the end zone. I mean, guys, these are all great guys. I think all we're doing here is just telling people what our specific taste is. And I don't disagree with any of you guys. And the nice thing about the CFL is we do have room for running backs. People think we don't, but we do. There's a lot of great running backs in the CFL. We do have a running game here, and the proof is in the pudding. You don't win if you don't have one.
There you
Bingo.
Go.
John, you want to add?
We didn't have one for a long time there. We're flailing.
Yeah, and Andrew has screwed up. You know, a lot of times players, it's not really what they say. You know, guys, maybe you'll agree with this too. Sometimes perception is the problem, which takes us full circle to where we started this conversation about suspending Saskatchewan for the year. You know, it's the perception of not fining or publicly saying as a team that you don't approve of what the guys did. And I think at the end of the day, that's what angers Chris and angers a lot of other fans. And, in fact, I'm not very happy with it either. I would at least like to have a team, when a player does something wrong, fine them, suspend them, or do something that says to the fan base and to the fans of every team of the game of the CFL that we don't put up with this kind of stuff and we don't approve of it. And that's really the thing that got missed by Saskatchewan. And I think that's at the root of what enrages guys like Chris. Chris, would you agree with that statement? I mean, isn't that really the beef?
Yeah, bottom line is, how does this look for the kids?
Right.
I agree also.
You know what I mean? So
honestly,
I don't think there's
any kids asking about it. Honestly.
Oh,
no kids asking that. It's only PC Lions asking.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I get it. Morality, yes. Yes, I get it.
Okay, so let's put this on a different shoe here for a second. Let's just say that BC just cannot do it in the playoffs, which, you know, there's a very high probability in that. And Saskatchewan rolls over top us to Calgary. The Sheets comes back, performs, does what he has to do, and Durant actually knows how to throw the ball. And they end up in the Grey Cup in Regina. And Toronto takes it in the East, and Toronto gets beat by Saskatchewan. And Ty Smith gets the MVP because – he does. Are you not going to be pissed that this guy's even playing?
I have to agree with you to a degree, Chris. I don't know that I can agree wholeheartedly, but it will, you know, because, guys, this is the part that why I'd like to have seen it. You're 100% right, Chris. This is what I see in front of me, and that's what I don't want to happen, is to have this guy turn into a hero, and then the media are going to remember that this guy got away with something, and that's going to put a bad taste in it. That's what I'm worried about. I don't mind. You know, like I said, putting guys on the pedestal, but this guy's going to be an easy guy to knock off the pedestal. You know, he's going to be easy.
You know,
if he gets MVP, the media's going to go after him even harder.
Yeah, he's going to get MVP and then ends up going to jail. How's that going to look for the league, the Riders, the anything? I mean, that's an implosion.
Not very good. It's not going to look good at all, especially since Saskatchewan did nothing to acknowledge the action that he was a part of. And I'm not talking about guilt. Again, I must remind people, I'm not talking about guilt here. I'm talking about perception. And that's very important with leagues. You know, every week we listen to Manasseh, Mike of Minnesota, and then even you today, Chris, talk about the futility of the fandom in Toronto. Yeah, there's a perception there, but I'd like to suggest that sometimes perception isn't 100% right. But I got to live with that perception that people think that nobody cares about the Argos. I got to live with that perception, because it looks that way doesn't necessarily mean that it's real. So, you know, that's why to me it's important that they give the suspension to these guys, and they should have, just for the perceived notion that they actually care about, you know, team rules and conduct, you know, that they do regulate players' conduct.
You know,
it's all about
actually,
perception,
what
guys.
What they should do in the CFL is during the season, they should have a time limit where you can be out like that. So you won't get into no problems, get into no
stuff.
Yeah,
well,
no
I think teams have their version of curfews. We're not aware of it because they don't share it with us. You know what I mean, Mike? They don't share that with us. But, you know that there's curfews with football, with all sports teams. You know, especially the day before a game, the night before a game.
3 o'clock in the morning.
This was a Sunday night. It was after a game, Frank.
Huh?
This altercation in Regina was actually after a game.
and it was 3 o'clock
okay.
in the morning.
Then I stand corrected.
Yeah, it was not before a game. It was, but it was in a playing week. I don't want to make them look too bad. Still 3 o'clock in the morning during the season is wrong.
Well, when it happened, when it first happened, they should have gave him 2 or 3 game suspension, fined him, let it go. That's what it should have done. They
exactly.
Didn't do nothing, and that,
you were listening to the show.
But until the charges were laid.
Yeah.
Once
well,
the charges,
when the charges
were
laid,
then
that's another,
a different ballgame.
That's another story.
That's a whole different game.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't mean to resurrect that discussion, but we all agree. Okay, let's have a. We've got about 5 minutes, guys. Less than 5 minutes. Let's discuss the top quarterbacks this year. Who are the top quarterbacks this year? For my money, I think the top quarterbacks. I'm gonna throw a bunch in together, and that is backup quarterbacks. That's it's been an amazing year for backup quarterbacks, and Mr. Smith now, Troy Smith in Montreal, is like the cherry on top
except
of that
Vancouver.
Cake.
Yes, he is.
Well, yeah,
you,
Buck Riley. Riley was a great backup quarterback for BC. Mm-hmm. Only problem was he ended up in Edmonton.
Yeah.
You can take some of that credit.
Yeah. Top quarterback.
But you're right.
This
DeMarco had a
Ricky
couple
Ray.
Of good games.
Yeah. DeMarco had a couple of good games. A couple.
It's all about consistency. Yeah. Ricky Ray is there. He's got my vote. Always has. Best quarterback in the league for the last decade.
Wow.
What?
Yep. Ricky Ray. Yeah. I give it to him.
Ricky Ray.
He played in Edmonton. He was still good.
Wait, for the past
he
decade.
He didn't have a team. He didn't have a team.
Well, he's
but
won
he was
three
the best
great
quarterback.
Cups. He's won 3 great cups.
Yeah. No.
You know, Wally Bono will be glad to have Ricky Ray.
Oh, no, I'd be.
Okay, I'm going to throw in something as a diehard Argo fan, guys. Honestly, never, ever liked Ricky Ray's style. I thought he was slow on his legs. I thought that toss, you can read it. It was such a slow, methodical loop. I thought he was so interceptable when he played in Edmonton. I just thought he was crappy in the pocket. And then when he did run, oh, my God, it looked like it was cemented feet. But I got to take it all back.
he was all of those things. Without question, he was
and
all of those
is.
Things. And still is. But he has the ability
the
to
pocket,
put the ball
yes.
in the end zone.
But
yeah, what else matters?
But, you know, I got to tell you, when he came into camp last year, guys, I follow the camps in each league a little bit before they start up, and he looked like fine-tuned, doesn't look like he has 3% fat on him. At his age, I mean, the guy's really, really good shape, okay? I mean, he's really, really good shape, and he's back in the groove of it. I mean, 500 yards this last game against Winnipeg. You know, I didn't even notice it. I only heard it from the president,
Winnipeg.
Chris Rudge. He came to Shulis after the game, and this is where we all hang out, the Argo lifers and the players and cheerleaders and so forth. And he dropped by with David Bedford, the one of the VPs, and Daniel Steinfeld. And he even mentioned that, did you hear? It was a pretty nice performance by Ricky, over 500 yards. He broke it to me. I didn't know. I mean, he had an amazing game. It's just one of those things. He is back. It's going to be whoever they play, Toronto, is going to be really, really Ricky Ray's going to be ready, guys. He's going to be ready. He already
especially
is
ready. If Chiles and Inman are in the game together.
Oh, I'm excited, yeah. Frank. Fuck, I'm excited. Sorry.
I mean, he had an 80% percentage rate in that game and 505 yards.
Giddy up.
Yeah. Went 39 of 45.
So who else deserves a mention? Durant has been a pretty good quarterback.
Glenn.
No, he hasn't.
Okay, look, Chris, come on, man. Really. Durant's had 30 touchdowns to, like, what, 6 interceptions? What are you talking about?
Okay.
I'm going to tell
Glenn.
You like this. I'm going with
Glenn,
my pick.
Come on, Glenn,
pick,
please.
That I always pick the whole year. I'm going with Old Faithful Kevin Glenn. Look at Calgary's record.
Oh, good God. Come on, guys. You guys got to be kidding me, man.
No,
Kevin
seriously.
Glenn is a game manager that benefits from a tremendous running game. The defenses are all keyed in on Cornish. Come on, man. That's
look
under the radar.
If his defense is all keyed in on Cornish, how come he's the leading running back?
Because they have the best offensive line in the CFL.
The thing is, look at Kevin Glenn's attempt complete ratio.
Yep.
Low turnovers. He manages the clock. I mean, that's the type of savvy veteran that you would love to have calling your plays.
Did he have something to prove this year? He has something to prove this year. He did not perform well in the Grey Cup in Toronto last year.
He really didn't. He really didn't. So, you know,
he has something to prove, just like Calgary as a team.
Man, he got benched by halftime against Saskatchewan because the guy wasn't doing anything. And they brought Drew Tate in the second half, and look how the team played. So
he
don't know.
He wasn't doing all that bad. He wasn't doing that
bad. So Ricky stands alone, guys? Ricky stands alone as a quarterback this year? I mean, you know, I mean, if Riley doesn't get hurt, I think he ends up being the best quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
On heart alone.
Well, if Ricky, hang on. If Ricky didn't get hurt, he would have, look at his percentage.
Riley!
Yeah, you're right, too.
Yep.
Riley! Edmonton Riley!
Hang on. Why are you having a problem with Riley?
Look, he got all those yards in the second. They're always losing. He's just, like the TSN analyst said, he was a second half yardage guy. It was when the team gave up, they were down by 35 points, and the defense more or less let him have the 30, 40-yard throws that he completed on, and he racked up all those yards in the second half of all those games. Otherwise, he would have been winning the games if he did it in the first half, and he was doing it throughout the whole season consistently, not consistent with the numbers and the performance. Forget about Riley. He's good, but the numbers don't show how really poorly he did.
Well, you know what?
He was a backup quarterback coming in relief.
No, he's a good starter.
He's
I get
a good
it.
Starter. But Edmonton,
he was the number two guy coming in this season.
Hold on, Mike. What were you
saying,
Mike?
He's no different than Zach Kolaris. He's no different than Josh Nieswander. Okay, they're all relief quarterback. Whatever his name is. Okay, Riley was a relief. He was the number two position coming in, and look what he did this year. I'm sorry. He's up there.
If there isn't an injury in the last in the only exhibition game in Edmonton, the quarterback would have been wouldn't have been Riley. Riley was not their quarterback. Their quarterback got hurt in the exhibition season.
There's no consideration for Henry Burris and his 4,700 yards so far.
There you go. This is, but I didn't say he was.
What about his 18 interceptions?
Who?
Yeah, you see that? It's amazing though,
Henry
guys.
Burris' 18 interceptions is important there, guys.
Think about it, guys. Overall, the most impressive quarterbacks didn't start the season.
Sure did.
Other than Ricky Ray. Other than Ricky Ray. And he didn't play much either.
I got to interrupt something, Frank. We know Chris's colors. Mike, what are your colors? Who do you like in the CFL?
I'm black and gold. Hamilton all the way.
Ouch!
Oh, here we go.
So Mike,
what do you think is going to happen if Hamilton walks into Toronto for the East Final?
If Henry Burris can play under control and don't try to do too much,
sorry,
don't try to force the ball and the offensive line block and open the holes for CJ Gable, it's going to be a long day for Toronto.
Oh, man.
I don't have a problem with that.
Mike's right a little bit because our defense, they're still not up to par. I mean, that Winnipeg game, the long coverages, the deep, blown coverages, they're not looking good. Jones better play his A game even come this Friday. I think it should be a defensive game, I'm guessing, okay, this Friday. First of all, if we have most of our starters out. But, yeah, I think Mike's got a point there to a certain extent. I just don't think the Ticats have the same talent that the Argos do. And I think when all our weapons are on the field at the same time, all healthy, which they will be, guys, okay, and the Ticats are going to come in banged up, or Alouettes, regardless of what team, are going to be coming into the Rogers Center. The Argos are in a good position here. But, Mike, you know, I get it. You know, Ticat fan, and you see Burris, and they're going to do fit. Aren't you guys worried about what happened against Montreal? I mean, you guys got lucky with a couple of tipped interceptions and blown block on a punt return that kind of saved the game. Otherwise, you got a rookie quarterback, playing his second start, and the defense, for Montreal kind of killed you guys, even with three quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks did the Ticats use that game? Three?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's no stability there. I'm not looking too confident. I'm seriously
you know
not.
Right. You are right. And even though I'm the black and gold, I will call it the way it is. If the Ticats struggle, they're going to get beat. Because it had been some games where I think Herring Bird should have been benched in the second quarter. But they rolled with it, you know. And then, you know, I like what's the backup guy's name from Western Michigan?
LeFevre.
I like LeFevre. And I'm pretty sure that's who's going to be their starter in the upcoming years. But, you know, I think you should give him a start, man, and see what he can do.
This is last year in Hamilton.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd last the season.
No, not the way him and Austin clashing.
I saw that from game two.
Okay, who was the two – okay, here's a question for you. We're on quarterbacks right now. Who impressed you the most this year? Not who was the best. Who impressed you the most?
Well, me, who impressed me, and I'm the first to say it, and I admit, because you, Frank, you know, you might know where I'm going with this, and Chris, you're going to know where I'm going. Who impressed me the most when Ricky
Kevin
went out was Zach Collaros.
Zach Collaros.
He impressed me. He had a couple of few shaky games, but at the end of the game, they came out with the W in the second quarter.
Without question, Zach Collaros was there. I'll tell you who else impressed me was Troy Smith.
Yeah, that's
who I would have said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Zach Collaros because I said – that he wasn't going to last. You know, I said it. I kept sitting in the chat room game after game, but he impressed me.
He's number three on efficiency rating.
And that's pretty impressive.
Zach Collaros, rookie year, number three in the league with efficiency rating. So Toronto's got two of the top three.
Yep.
Sure. And I maintain that the playoffs this year are going to be – it's going to be rotation. It's going to be what we're all going to remember. There's going to be quarterbacks going in and out in the playoffs this year like we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as an Argo fan, it's quite possible. Joe Barnes played the second half in BC and won the Grey Cup. And he wasn't the starting quarterback.
My biggest concern about the CFL going into next year, I really want to see what Winnipeg is going to do with this team.
They'll be fine.
They need a quarterback.
Winnipeg is going to go. They're going to blow it up, and they're going to get Collaros or Burris. One of those two are going to Winnipeg.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think Winnipeg have finally found the number one guy in Mike Sims Walker.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, he looks like it.
Yep. I think they finally found a number one guy. And get him through preseason or get him acclimated more on off season and get in the preseason, he's gonna be a good receiver in the CFL. Bottom line.
Yeah, that's gonna be the fun part of next year. Because all these quarterbacks that we saw this year that don't have a permanent home right now, they're gonna show up and we're gonna find out what they're really made of.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Because there's going to be a merry-go-round this offseason.
Frank, I don't mean to cut you off short, but I got to thank everybody. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mike. We got two mics on now. Thank you, Frank. Sure. It's been a great show. Really, really good talking to everybody tonight. Good talk. Love the talk tonight, as a matter of fact. Hopefully we'll hear you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for having me on. I got to scoot. We'll talk to you next time, guys. All right?
Take care, man. John.
All right, man. Take care.
Right.
Yeah, we're over, by the way, guys. This is one of those times where we get over because we're too busy talking.
So we're just talking and off air.
No. Well, you are off air at this time, but when people put the repeat on, they'll hear the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right? So I get my 2 hours, but then it stops, and then on the repeat, people who were listening and were cut off, if they start it over again, they'll be able to zoom forward to the plus 2 hour part of the show. So yeah, I guess in conclusion, guys, it is we did go over a few minutes, which is okay. It really has been a pleasure talking to you guys. So now the quarterbacks, I guess then it's safe to say that the CFL is in pretty good hands if it comes to quarterbacks. They found a lot of good quarterbacks. We won't have the type of years that we've had for years gone by where we've had three good quarterbacks and eight teams.
No.
Yeah, I think it's
quarterbacks and teams.
Yeah, like I think the biggest thing is the fact that Montreal found a legitimate, looks like, franchise quarterback, because I was worried that once Cavill hanged it up, I thought Montreal was going to be terrible for the next couple of years. But with Troy Smith, they have a bright future.
They have a really bright future.
How many starting quarterbacks has Montreal had in the last 20 years?
Who?
One.
Man, like maybe if you count backups who stepped in for Cavill when he
No, not three. Backups. Two. They've only had two starting quarterbacks in the last 20-something years.
Yeah.
Tracy Ham was the other one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Tracy Ham was the starting quarterback. He handed it over to Calvillo, and it's been, you know, they just find something good, and, you know, if this kid's for real, you know, he'll be another 10 years of great quarterbacking and great, you know, great performances by the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, I've never seen a quarterback in the CFL with an arm like that. Like, I know Burris gets a lot of hype for having a cannon for an arm, but, man, Troy Smith, man, that guy, he put some velocity on those things. I mean, he just passed every time. You know, it's beautiful.
Hang on, I'm going to throw Casey Printers out there.
Yeah, he was good, too.
Casey Printers had an arm.
Yes, he did.
We're talking spiral. I mean, no wobble. No wobble.
No, man, that just went.
Tightrope.
Man, but
Leroy was playing with him here.
But you know
when Leroy was playing with Casey Printers, he says that he had a pair of catching gloves that he had for 3 years. In the season that he caught for Casey Printers, he said he went through 8 pairs of gloves.
Wow.
I don't doubt that.
Tore the gloves off his hand.
Hey, don't be surprised if Casey Printers rear wreck in the CFL next year with the expansion coming out.
I'd said that.
Is he still playing?
I would be looking
somewhere?
For Adrian McPherson.
Yeah, he's playing indoor football league in, I think, Texas.
Yeah, he was playing in Texas. He didn't play last year.
Oh.
But he was. Yeah, he played last year in Texas. He didn't play not last year in Texas. He wasn't playing. But he might be playing again this year, either indoor league or he might be back in the CFL. I mean, hey, he's not an old guy that can't get out there and sling that ball.
I would be looking for Adrian McPherson coming back up, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's been playing some good ball
down in the indoor league, and he knows the CFL game better than a lot.
Man, he's got to be better than anything Winnipeg's got right now. I mean, Winnipeg should be going after anyone they can possibly get. It's crazy.
I thought Max Hall was going to come in and at least show a little something. I mean, I'm not going to give Max Hall, you know, bad mouth and said he was a bad quarterback. But coming straight from the NFL, you know, have NFL reps, you're not really acclimated to the CFL to maybe like your second year. I'm sorry.
It's a different game.
Yep,
yeah.
Different game all the way around. And
yeah,
if you can't throw that ball, that long field, he got to get acclimated more. If he had a good offseason, and since he got that number one guy, Mike Sims-Walker, maybe, you know, Winnipeg might spend a chance, but I doubt it.
So if you guys are Ottawa's GM, who would you guys want to get as your first quarterback to start things out?
Ricky Ray.
I'm going with
Well, I mean, guys that are going to be available, you know, not just anybody.
I'm going with Kevin.
Well, the question is, how many trades are going to happen before the expansion draft?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this could be a lot of business.
He could be going to Winnipeg. He could be going anywhere. Right. So he might not even be available.
So, let me just throw some names out then. Let's say it's Bo Levi Mitchell, Caleros, Henry Burris is a free agent. Let's just say Kevin Glenn. And then you can get maybe McPherson or what's his name? Casey Printers. So out of that group, who would you want as your first quarterback?
If I were Ottawa, I'd go with Glenn.
I'm going with Glenn.
I would too.
Wow. Over Bo Levi
and go with Glenn.
Yeah.
Yep.
The reason I go with Glenn is because of the name. And Ottawa, it really does depend how they're gonna treat the franchise. Are they gonna try and start from the ground and build up, and you know, go with a young quarterback? And do they have the patience to have a young quarterback carry them and the mistakes that he makes being young, or go with a name quarterback that gets you some wins that you don't deserve while you build? I don't know. it's up to the manager. They're a good man. I trust whatever they do. They've got a good management team there.
And I'm pretty sure Jeff Hunt wants to win now.
Yeah, I think
and
so, that,
and that's why I think that he would go for an experienced quarterback if the option is there for him, for them.
So you think Burris, Glenn over Burris then? So you know, you guys don't have any faith in Burris.
I would rather – listen, as far as Burris is concerned, if he leaves Hamilton, it might be a good thing because then he'll have something to prove. But Burris is a bit of a loose cannon. He's not a – you know, I don't even know how to explain it.
He's
Burris
the Wayne Gretzky
is a little, can
football.
I say – if I said flaky, would that be an insult?
No.
Not at all.
I agree with you. Weiner?
A little flaky. I get the impression he's a little flaky. You know, and Glenn is more studious, more of a down-to-earth, maybe the kind of guy that can have the patience that a young team's going to need.
But don't you think that maybe Ottawa being a new team, you know, they want some guy in there who's more exciting to get the fans excited? Because Glenn is kind of,